Broadcasting live from the Don and Mike Building, 3FM, 106.7 WJFK, Manassas, Washington, D.C. This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Tell me under what rationale that's okay.
Well, I'm not going to fight it back because, you know, I'm scared. I might go back to jail.
Watched The Simpsons the other night, and Bart Simpson hadn't done his homework, and he's afraid to take a history test. Well, he was praying for snow, and it was a blizzard. You know, and so, you know, the little girl reminded him that, hey, you prayed to get some extra time to study for that history test, and made him go up there and study. And he got him a 59, which was a failing grade, but then the teacher gave him a 60, and he passed the fourth grade.
Jesus, you're not laying in your own puke, are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are on a motion picture sound stage with John Wayne.
Scene 2, take 1.
I'm John Wayne. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine.
Hi.
Now, you make yourself at home here, youngster, and I'll be back.
Okay.
I've known that little fellow a while. He's mentally retarded, one of more than 6 million kids and adults. I thought some of you might like to help because
Joe.
Retarded can be helped.
Joe.
2 years ago, Robert couldn't say hi.
Joe.
Well, you heard him. It may not sound like much to you, but to Robert's mother and dad, it's almost a miracle. Now, the National Association for Retarded Children and its nearly 1,500 local associations are helping to make miracles like this happen every day. It isn't easy. Help us. Please.
It's controversial.
The hell you fucking are!
It's what you won't see on TV.
I'm very, very fucking sick.
It's Major Bill Smith. Too hot for television.
My fucking nails grow. All the cotton picking women are jealous of my motherfucking fingernails.
It's the real Major Bill Smith. The man the censors didn't want you to hear.
There is no goddamn sharper dude on the face of this earth than Major Bill Smith.
Major Bill Smith. Too hot for television. Get your copy and get to know.
Get apples, you greasy sucker.
Not available in stores.
And the whole station tanked. So, guess it is important who's on in the morning. You kind of feed the rest of the day, you know?
Mm.
The only consolation for WJFK in Washington, which is owned by CBS Radio, was it wasn't worse. WJFK fell from 5th with Stern to 9th with the junkies among 25 to 54-year-olds. JFK had to reshuffle its lineup. By reshuffling everything, all those moving pieces apparently hurt the Don and Mike show, whose audience share among adults 25 to 54 slipped 27%. Oh, they must be pissed.
You have no idea what your work means to me.
What does it mean to you?
When somebody out there knows what it's like to be in here.
Oh, God, this is like a nightmare.
Oh, come on, just a couple of questions. How hard is that? How do you write women so well?
I think of a man, and I take away reason and accountability.
I can't believe I stuck up.
I feel like I've been stabbed in the heart.
Well, we can't have him here in our social club no more. I mean, that much I do know.
Social club?
He's got to go.
What to think about?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is there to think about?
Shut down.
I'll say it again. What is there to think about?
You're going to take care of his case?
After he's gone?
It's true. They didn't do it. Poor little guys. Now, sit down. I'm sorry if I you. It's just,
how much more betrayal can I take?
Big construction tycoon. Tony. When he was always talking about greasing the union, who knew that's what he meant?
Wildcard caller in New York. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good evening.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you a question along similar lines as the previous caller. I think it's a little bit of an arrogant presumption on your part when it comes to the relationship between quantum mechanics and the theories behind Asplay, and for you to just say that the only intelligent life is on this planet, or that there is in fact intelligent life on this planet, proves that you have not paid close attention to the callers of the Don and Mike show. And my question is, where's your crop detector now?
All right. Yes, every once in a while we'll get one of those that come through.
Hello, dear friends.
What a lovely mini cavalcade that was.
Hello. Thank you. Oh, look at beautiful flowers.
Oh, let's meet.
Let's start the show.
Oh, boy, am I in love.
Why is that?
Because this song is playing.
I thought it's because you think about your laughing place.
I do, every day. Everybody's got one.
Everybody have your gay stories?
Yeah. I'm not comfortable with that.
You're more comfortable with it than you're letting on.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
You may be the most comfortable with it. Although I've not read your story yet.
It's not that gay.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7.
A developmental game. Or between 2 and 6, 1 and 5 on the West Coast. Local time is noon to 4.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-265-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's right. Cow teats. Song about cow teats.
I love this song.
By the Who. It also will be the theme if they ever do CSI Fairfax.
The one city there's not done yet.
Exactly. Oh. I think we're counting down the days until we change studios and change states.
Hello!
Have our identities altered?
Oh, hi there.
Go into witness protection.
Get our new passports.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi there. You know, it's time to do it. Open up the door and...
Hey, look, he's got a squeeze bar.
Here he is.
He's mentally retarded.
You want to squeeze it?
How's your squeeze box?
How's your gay story? And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Devane, and all the ships at sea.
Are you insane?
Are you? Get ready, because today,
yes. They're
going to go bananas.
Yeah.
It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I said that.
Mike said that in real life.
Said it to Rob.
Said it in real life and said, wow, those people are going bananas. Okay, Daddy-O. It's the Who to start today at Squeeze Box. This is the steaming pile known as the Don and Mike Show at a Tadoosh episode, everybody, on this Tuesday. 05-09-06.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Not retarded. Here's your phone number. You can call us anytime. We have the 877 number from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. And if you can't use 877s where you are, you can call at 800-636-1067. And if you're lucky enough to be listening to us on WJFK in Washington, D.C., she goes in and out and in and out. You can call us at 202-432-1067. see what else. Oh, iTunes.
Yes.
If you've got the iPod,
yeah,
go to iTunes.com. We're there in talk radio. 100 brand-new episodes. And we're on your computer on the intranet. Bound, bound. Go to our website. Our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Just click on Listen Live, and you'll get the stream, which is chunky today. Mm. And also, you can email us anytime during the show, DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Wonderful.
Yanni, our webmaster, was telling me something about it. If you send email during the show and you get a response, something like, don't be surprised if it's from a Yahoo account. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but that's the official... I don't know what he's doing.
Something on the side. What's he trying to communicate?
You know, we're changing servers, or
this is John.
It makes it easier to access the mail.
John.
Yes, sir.
What were you telling me about? You know, I half listened.
Yeah.
What were you telling me about the mail for the listeners?
The webmail service that we've been using with the new website is slow and tedious to get in and out of. So we have created a Yahoo account, where all that stuff is forwarded to automatically. So if you can still email to email at DonandMikeWebsite.com, but it'll end up at a Yahoo site. So, yeah, exactly. So if I reply, there'll be something other than Don and Mike. Hi.
So what you're saying is nothing really
changes.
It's
really not that important, is really what it boils down to.
No, but nothing changes, right?
As far as the listeners are concerned, no.
So the listeners that are calling in and asking about the website, if they want to send us an email, they send it to the same address.
Correct.
Okay. Why'd you tell me? I mean, were you telling me just to tell me, or?
Just so in case anybody asks.
Why they got mail from Yahoo.
Yes.
So if we respond to their emails, it will be from an email account through Yahoo.
Correct.
Can you explain that one more time, please?
No, thank you.
No, come on, really.
We haven't had enough crickets yet?
No, not yet. Just one more time, please.
If I respond to your email from the website, the crickets come on immediately.
All right. Listen. Okay, goodbye, crickets. Did you do your homework?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good.
Gay, but not too gay.
I'm not comfortable with this.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Okay, one more time. I swear to God, no crickets. Explain to us about if someone sends an email, they should not be concerned if it does not come back down on my website. Why?
Because we have... We put the crickets to sleep.
That right now is the biggest cricket sleeping. Little skinny legs up in the air.
Okay. Alpha cricket. Kidding, of course. Really, why, John?
No,
come on.
Really not that important.
No, but you stopped me in the hall to tell me, and I think it's important that the show be internet friendly.
Just very briefly, the email account now that we've set up is done through what? How did that work?
If you get an email...
Yes?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I respond to you, the Charlie Brown Show.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you, John.
Thanks,
welcome.
John.
How's
clears it up.
How's the job working out for you? How you like it here?
Oh, having fun.
Like it fine?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, good day, sir.
Bye then.
Bye then. Bye-bye.
Bye!
There he goes.
That is John Norman.
Yeah. Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Don and Mike Show.
Right. You're on the air. First call, unscreened, fresh, virginal, ready to be explored, prodded, probed. Probed. Thank you, Mike.
Probst would be the Survivor game.
Jeff. Jeff Probst.
Jeff Probst.
What can we do for you?
I just wanted to call and tell you guys that you are great. And I just wanted to see if you remembered me. You drank a cup of my dirty underwear tea.
That has to be a football bet, right?
It was the Super Bowl. A couple years back, I just moved.
How could I forget? I've just the scars have just left my tongue.
Oh my God, that's right. You drank underwear tea. Do you remember the bet, Don?
Well, it certainly wasn't the Packers.
Rams and the Patriots.
Yeah. Oh, what was it? Me? Sure.
Took the Rams.
Sure,
did you?
Sure thing on the St. Louis Rams. The greatest show on turf. Was that my whole thing?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right before a man named Brady came into prominence. Because I'm super smart like that.
Underwear tea.
Underwear tea.
Drink that underwear tea, Nostradamus.
All right, thank you. Thank you for reminding. Thank you for calling back. What am I saying thank you for? I drank this guy's...
You're still alive.
...tea that was...
If I remember correctly, you didn't think it was that bad.
It had good color, and you actually felt more awake after you drank it.
Well, I think now you remember. You remember. It's like, get out of here. I think you're remembering things the way you want to remember them, right?
Well, I've done a lot of that. I was writing that story today.
Yes, and everybody, would you please, would you all please be a love? And pass your stories over.
I think we have.
All right. Pass your stories
over. Are we all going to give those stories to a site so you can shuffle them?
Right here.
So you can shuffle. I thought you said one page.
Well, I used a big font.
A
and really, on the second page, there's only one sentence.
I thought you said 25 words or more. So.
Yep, okay. All right, these are two.
Two.
Yeah, I'm coming.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Bag.
There's number one.
But that's the most gay. I thought you said 25 words or more, teacher.
Number three. Mike, where's yours?
Bring him an apple. It's right here.
Okay, hold on. Number four. Number five. And Rob, where's yours, pal?
It's among them.
Hold on.
Mine has spray butter on it.
Okay, I see that. Okay, so we have...
You're without Joe's right now.
Why is that?
Because Joe hasn't turned his in yet.
What?
Well, where is he?
Yeah, where is he at?
He's at a bathhouse.
Here he comes.
There you go.
Got it.
You got your homework?
Yep.
Good, thank you.
There it is.
Did you use a smaller font?
No, he couldn't.
Did he use a small font?
Mm-hmm. Give me just a second. I just want to read it.
Joe's.
Yeah.
I thought we weren't supposed to know
who. You're not supposed to know whose it is.
But then you said yours had butter on it.
No. We don't. Actually, it's the listeners who are going.
The listeners?
The listeners are going to be hearing the six stories and try to identify
very good.
The person with the gayest thing that they've ever done.
How are we going to. And this isn't really. Is this a contest, or are we just going to, like, read a story and then take calls and see what the majority of the listeners have to say?
I think what we're going to do is get someone not associated with the show. Somebody in the building. Maybe somebody
to
like
read the stories?
Yeah. Like you know.
How about Shondell?
Red. Yeah. Red or Shondell, whoever's around at 5 o'clock whenever we get to doing this. Have that person come in. Or even better, you know, if it could be a man.
That would be better.
If it could be like, how about our engineer Tony Diggs?
Cody Limon. Tony Diggs.
We have to wait till 5?
Oh, Mike. Absolutely. What do you think?
I have no patience.
You don't shoot the wad right away.
You haven't read my story.
Apparently.
Now stop. Don't do that. It's not fair.
I'm not reading it. I'm just.
It's not fair.
They're right here. And we'll tuck them away for 2 hours. We'll open them up.
Yeah.
We'll get somebody. Robbie, find somebody to read them.
Okay.
You know, a guy would be good. A guy would be good. We can play good gay music in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will be up to you, the listener, to decide who goes with who. Story number one, story number two. And we'll take a couple of calls and give a couple of people chances.
You going to shuffle them?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right.
They will, you know, it will not go like Don, Mike, Rob, Buzz, you know, or whatever perceived pecking order there is. And it won't be like bottom to top, which, of course, would start with Joe.
Joe.
On top.
They'll just be shuffled up.
I see.
Six different stories. Although, I'll just tell you this, and I'm not reading them. As I glance at them, I think it's going to be pretty apparent. Well, Mike, I think you and I took it seriously.
Really?
That's all I can say. I think we'll probably be busted right away, simply because of our gift with the written word.
Amen. Well, you didn't expect anything less, did you?
I did not.
Wow.
From Mr. Holland's anus, I did not.
How long did it take you? Like 5 minutes?
No. Less? Are you kidding?
You just, it's the gift that we both have of the written word is amazing.
You know, Mike and I so many times have sat in the office. Tell me this is not gay. It's almost like verbal J-O-ing. You know, say, you're so talented. Look at that crap Dave Barry writes. How long do you think it takes him to write that?
Uh-huh.
10 minutes? We could come up with better stuff in 5.
My memory, I didn't remember the word thing like you did, teacher's pet. But I do remember that you wanted a literary quality to this.
Oh.
You wanted them to be well written.
I heard a minimum 25 words, so I think I had like 35 words.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Schoolhouse.
That's right.
Schoolhouse Rock.
And Rob just had to decide which one to get from his big manila folder.
Yeah, I had a lot ready to go.
Rob had to go to his big repressed memory file.
For the book.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Which relative do I throw under the bus?
Hi there, you're on the air.
Hey,
what's happening?
You need to have Timmy read your stories.
Mm.
That'd be good.
That's a good suggestion.
That's a pretty good suggestion.
No.
What,
no, I don't think so.
But he's not, what, he's not gay enough? He's
no,
not...
no, because everybody thinks of Timmy as when you had him be all those different characters.
Hi, Captain.
Hello, Captain.
And Rob, I know he's black. You don't have to write
it's
that
just
down.
My opinion.
You don't have to write
it's
that
just
down.
My opinion that a, female, black. That a female voice would make this a little more interesting.
You know, he really...
Hi!
Do we want women to know, though?
Look at this.
I have no problem. Same room.
Look at this. He just wrote down on the edge of my newspaper. He wrote the word black.
God,
like,
Bob.
Like I'm not going to forget that Timmy's black.
Jesus.
He was going to write that sometime today.
You did something
today.
Different to your hair today, too. It looks particularly spiky.
No, you know what it is?
He's making himself look like a stud for tonight's thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll work.
Yeah. Rob's out on Boondang Patrol tonight.
Rob is seriously looking forward to this appearance tonight.
Rob is married, but, you know, to an extent.
Right.
You get what I'm saying, chicks?
Thank you, Don.
He's 200 plus pounds of love.
He gonna be up to his ass and the Hooters girls tonight.
Wow. What is this? God, you're a whore, Rob.
Yeah. Good gig.
This is a gig that any one of us would probably take.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Join Rob. Well,
no, that's right. With one exception, you're
many
right.
Of us.
Many of you would. And no offense to Hooters. It's just right. You know me.
Right.
Yeah. That's the whole shyness thing. It's the people thing.
Yeah.
It's not wanting to be around people.
No. Yeah. Right. I don't like people. I mean, I like people. Right. I just don't like being in large groups of them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where they don't behave correctly, like in the movie theaters.
If we were at the new studio, I'd probably be dropping by to check him out.
Yeah, very close. Tonight, Rob will be at the Hooters in Rockville, Classic Rockville, Maryland, for the Hooters swimsuit competition tonight. Oh, and boy.
Yeah, listen.
Get ready for the line here.
Yeah.
Get ready for the line outside the door. You may win Allman Brothers tickets. Huzzah. Okay, there you go. There's your read.
Thank you.
There you go. On behalf of the 10 people that will be there tonight, thank you very much.
Shall I save you a seat?
Thanks for that to the beginning. No, just call me.
Okay, I will.
Call me and let me know. Call me and give me like 5-minute updates. You know.
Can I make a request?
Yeah.
Sure. You're going out there, right? We gave you a nice little plug here for the thing. Is there any chance? They always have these digital cameras. Can I make a request that you get your picture taken with all the contestants?
All the competitors?
Oh, that'd be great.
I'd like to have that.
Yes.
I'd like to have that as a personal memento.
I will suck my stomach in and
thank you very much. Thank you. I think it'll be a great joy to see that picture.
Oh. And the ladies will like it, too.
Of course they will.
Are you kidding? Hunk of the day. Put that on our website. Like the Jim Elliott picture.
Yeah. In a star.
DJ star. DJ of the week. Hi, it's Jim Elliott.
There I am with my running suit. Pants and my shirt and a towel around my neck.
Hi. Listen, before we talk about anything, David Blaine, Christ, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. The feces and food on TV.
Yeah, still.
The gay letters that we wrote. Lots of changes in radio we'd like to talk about. I think everybody probably like us. If you listen to the show, you know we love 24.
Yes.
It does not disappoint.
Never.
God, like
phenomenal
Sopranos.
Last night. So entertaining.
What a good one last night.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he didn't get any FaceTime, in a very rare move, we're gonna bring somebody in the very first segment today.
Oh.
So, because how could we not?
Reports of my demise have been vastly overestimated, yeah. Jack.
You realize?
Or I should say exaggerated.
You realize that you have been pushed to the top of the stack today.
I have tubes coming out of my nose still because I'm speaking with you fresh out of ICU, Jack.
Devane lives on 24. They cannot kill off William Devane.
Yeah. I have a bone to pick with you and everyone else, Jack.
Okay, what's
who's
that?
The retard that gave the evidence to Chloe O'Brien?
Yeah.
She's not qualified, Jack. I'm in ICU. The nurses are homely.
Oh, no.
My name is Bill Devane, and I'm very much alive. And now, I'll see this thing through to the bitter end, Jack.
Now, on last night's 24, they never really gave you FaceTime. You were not one of the blocks at the very beginning. You were
it's
not introduced.
Too soon, and it's classified.
There's only,
are you insane?
How many are left, Buzz? Three?
Two or three episodes
two
left.
Two or three left. Yeah. So I
basically stomp all over David Blaine. I held my breath for 19 minutes.
when I was in the car at the bottom of the river, struggling to free myself from my late model SUV seatbelt. Or was I driving a sedan? Things had been very cloudy for me lately.
It was a sedan, and they had a laser pointed on you.
They had the laser pointed on me, Jack, because they were going to shoot me. I had no choice to have him make his decision. I made it for him and drove my car off the cliff into the river.
But the news is, Devane lives.
Now have gills.
Have you?
My fingers have sloughed off, Jack.
Have you felt this type of love since Knots Landing?
I have not felt this kind of love. Everyone knew I was coming back. I knew I was coming back, even though they didn't tell you I was coming back. And now I'm coming back, Jack. And I'm going to pay a visit to a very nervous, suicidal president that won't be able to see my face until the bitter end. And I'll say, you're insane. I'm back. I'll become president. And I'm a human fish.
Oh, wow.
Because I survived underwater for 3 episodes.
Yes.
Everyone should be aware of that fact that I survived deep under the water. Who needs 24 when you can have the creature from the Devane Lagoon? What a night. I just found a 6-pound catfish in my pocket. My wingtips are filled with mud, Jack.
But you're alive. That's the important
thing. I'm happy
thing.
To be alive, and for all of my supporters that wanted Secretary Heller to survive the fall and the drowning and the attempted shooting, I'd just like to say thank you to all of my supporters. I'm back with a vengeance.
And what would you say to the fellow, as I'm calling us now, Devaniacs?
The Devaniacs are legion. They are definitely going to be taking over the free world, Jack. And I will be on 24 before the season's over. You'll see my face. As a matter of fact, Devane and his dinner plate teeth are here to save the day. Keep the splash off my manifest. I have to fly to L.A. Then on to Japan for another summit. Take care. Ta-ta.
Wow. Wow, what a relief.
Seems angry. Should be happy to be alive, I would think.
Well, Devane is alive. They mentioned it right the very first 10 minutes of 24 last night.
Mm-hmm.
Said, well, he's got a lot of tubes going in and out of him.
That's right.
Out of his nose, but he'll be okay.
I could have smacked Chloe O'Brien last night, though. I really could have.
Mm.
Made me mad when she was sitting there. You know what? Was that now? Was that at the end of the show? You don't watch previews of Coming Attractions. No, he did it before the. Yeah.
I saw that
before the end. Where he came in and you know he did his. Was it, no, he, did he take it or did he just press a little?
I thought he took it.
I thought he erased it.
I think he.
Either way, it's gone.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Because
well, what a tard she is. He's right there next to her.
No, they'll find it. They got 3 episodes left.
She's trying.
It's like the last 15 minutes of a movie.
He'll somehow hold on to it.
It's the last 15 minutes of a movie.
That's right.
Well, everybody holds on to it because that's their basic leverage against President Logan.
Right.
But in this guy's case, it's to get what he wants to be looked with favor upon.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to end last night with Logan looking at the gun, and then we'd hear a gunshot, and it would fade to black, and we wouldn't know what happened, and like next week he could have just shot the gun and hit the wall or blown his brains out.
Or Gene Smart.
Yes, I thought he'd shoot her.
Yeah. How about when she's laying on the couch?
She plays a good...
She's just hagged out as hell.
Giving him the evil eye.
Yeah, he comes around to... Martha? Yeah, it might as well be Hughes, really, our general manager.
It is.
Can I speak with you for a moment, please? She just gives him that look.
Yeah.
God, the look that kills.
He is definitely getting some serious face time, and he's not disappointing.
No,
he really is
very
doing
good
a good
at
job.
Being evil.
Great show, 24. Even though Devane wasn't on, he lives. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, that guy didn't steal the tape. He put some sort of a little memory flash laser eraser next to it.
What I thought he did, okay. Yep. I thought he was, like, pressing a button and something
was
going
some red light was shining on it, erasing it.
So it's destroyed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not just supposedly.
Ew. Well, yeah, but see, yeah, I don't think so. I don't. Yeah. You know, that's the thing about that show. Who knows?
They can undo anything.
All right, here's a prediction. I think RoboCop made a copy of it.
Why didn't they just phone it in off the cell phone to make a copy?
I know a lot of people have said that. Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they phone it like when the plane was landing on the freeway?
You have to suspend belief.
Disbelief.
Whatever. Thanks.
Dive! Dive! Now!
Descend! Landing gear down! I mean, if you stop and look at the show objectively...
Don't do that.
You're more retarded for watching that than American Idol. Because at least in American Idol, well, of course that show is rigged, but there's some element of truth in it.
Put the plane down on the shortest amount of freeway with an overpass near it.
And also, while you're flying the plane, and you're going to land the plane on a highway by an overpass, and you have no idea what you're doing, and you're under intense pressure, a guy's got a gun in the back of your head, make sure that you take his driving hand with a stick, and make sure that you handcuff it to the stick on the airplane.
Sure. Sure.
Just to make it a little dicier.
That guy's a little wimpy, isn't he? If he's supposed to be part of this whole conspiracy, he certainly is going without a
Did it for the cash.
And they get right in front of the overpass, and it stops, and then
right,
just barely.
There goes Jack.
That's just the best show on television.
It's exciting. It's like an amusement park ride.
Even though the president's there and he's got the Secret Service looking, he's got the Marines there for him, and they talk their way right past that with Jack Bauer right in the car. They say, "We're going to find Jack Bauer."
And then they talk their way out of the perimeter. I like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I thought it was all over for President Logan, but no. He dodges a bullet, literally.
He's like Hughes.
Yep.
I tell you that, he is like our commandant. Michael Todd Hughes.
Survivors. Right move on the director of Homeland Security telling that weasel.
Yeah.
Telling that weasel what was going on. You knew that was a mistake.
You know the problem there. You got a woman and a man's job. I know that's a made-up show, but let's be honest.
Well, okay? Let's look at the facts. She told that guy and screwed everything up, and then who lost the evidence? Who had the evidence erased?
Chloe.
Why are you picking on Chloe O'Brien? I'm picking on Chloe because Chloe's a tard. With her big puffed out cheeks, she
hold
didn't notice the fact that guy...
Just last week you were arguing how beautiful she was, and... Who was it that was being pinned against her that I said... Not literally, but that I said I would do instead of... Garofalo.
Her Garofalo.
Garofalo or Chloe O'Brien.
Edgar Stiles, God rest his soul, would not have let that tape get erased by that pockmarked junior in Homeland Security.
Louis Lombardi, at this point, has 24 in his rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking towards his next role. Let's all think of Louis Lombardi.
Yeah. And his future.
You know, you could really...
I love that. That's his name.
What about a sitcom called Louis?
Edgar.
Perfect.
Didn't they do that with Louis Anderson? They might have. I think they did.
Yeah.
And where's Louis Anderson been?
On Dateline NBC.
Not yet.
Well, I love that show, 24.
Yeah, me too.
It's my favorite.
Boy, it's good.
Fun.
Boy, it's good. And tonight the magic box lights up. And those American Idol idiots sing Elvis songs.
And there
were
four.
Graceland. Are you kidding me, man? It's two of my favorite things. It's like Eat It Cream and cookies, man. It's American Idol and Elvis.
This is like that dude with the gray hair, Jake.
If only I could have seen Kelly Pickler.
Hello, Catherine. I'm Elvis Presley. I want to make sure that this evening when you perform, you're wearing cotton panties. Please do.
Jack, they have got a judge on that show, and he talks like he is from England.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Hold on. I remember something else that we were talking about before the show. Oh, yes, I know what it was. Hello, everyone. This is EAP.
Hey.
I've just discovered a fantastic science fiction show about life in the Stone Age. It features a man who drives a car with his feet, Jack.
It's amazing, man. He slides down a dinosaur when it's quitting time at his job, Jack.
Hey. These special effects baffle me.
Man, oh man, he goes to the drive-in, man, and the thing's so big it tips his car over.
All of his ribs, that made me hungry.
Is it a cartoon, Elvis?
I know, it's live action. Live action. I do not know who the actors are, but I know they might have calluses on their feet from driving their automobiles.
Right.
Man, they live in a weird town, man, with a weird name. Everything's named after rocks. Jack?
I saw it on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's fantastic science fiction.
Call me if the show gets better.
And the women are very skinny.
Yes.
Tiny waists, large breasts.
Waists the size of a roll of, was it quarters?
Quarters.
They're like perfect, Jack.
There they are.
Truly amazing. What a show it is. That's amazing. How do they play records, Jack?
You remember, Jack, it is with a bird, a giant, like, toucan bird, a toucan Sam. And the thing is, the can opener, Jack...
Yeah. It talks back, and it says, hey, I don't like opening up this can of worms. I'm telling you something. I've never seen a show like this before in my life.
They get all of their running water from an elephant's trunk.
The vacuum is an elephant, Jack. That's a multi-purpose tool.
Truly amazing, man.
Meet the Flintstones. I tell you, Jack, that is a future.
Well, they are modern, man. They're sort of their modern Stone Age family.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there. Hi.
This is a pretty random question, but I've been having back problems, and somebody recommended acupuncture to me. I haven't heard you talk about it recently. Is that something you recommend?
Are you still doing that, Jack?
Yeah. Yes, I am, Jack. It's wonderful. I like it. It's good for stress reduction. And what you want to do is get yourself a little honey like I do. Get yourself a nice Asian girl. What you do is when you go and you say, honey, there's no needles.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
There's only one needle you have to work on, and here it is, right here.
And the space needle, personal space needle.
Now, let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can get that arrow cocked.
How often do you have to go?
To the bathroom?
No, to acupuncture.
You go as often as you... If you want to ask me about it, seriously, I love it. I go about once a week.
Okay, good.
It's good. It works for me. It works to clear my head.
You do it for mental things.
Keeps me organized.
You don't have any particular body pain like this guy.
Do you have any aches and pains? I mean, is that one of the reasons, or you do it just to make yourself feel better?
Aches and pains? Well, this place, ache and pain? No, I do it just, I do it for the biggest sexual organ in your body, Jack.
The brain.
Your brain. No, I do it for my brain.
Okay.
I do it for my poor small brain.
Mm-hmm.
My poor small brain, who's up there. You know what? See, when we get the new studio, I'll be able to instantly say, please turn on reverb, and we'll have reverb right away.
Cool.
See, because now it's just...
It's a chore.
You know,
it's a task.
Watch how long this takes.
It requires effort and time.
And it's not even really going to be worth it.
It's convoluted.
Okay.
Thank you, Don.
Okay. Here's inside my head and my brain. Hey. God damn. Hello, I'm Don's brain. I'm so tiny, I'm tinier. I am tinier than... Who is a newborn baby? I am tinier than Tom Selleck's new little baby girl's finger. I'm little.
You mean Tom Cruise?
Did I say Tom Selleck?
Yes.
It's because we're doing the gay show today.
Tom Selleck with you.
It's very big and empty inside this big head.
Suri Cruise.
Like a tumbleweed. Just floating around inside this big, gigantic head.
Why is there echo? Because you're bouncing off the walls of your skull?
It's so small. My brain is so small. And my head is so big. And why doesn't he ever fix that bald spot, Jack?
No bigger than an English walnut.
Flintstones. Meet the Flintstones.
Modern Stone Age family.
We got to watch it because we'll be doing too much Elvis tomorrow if Elvis is featured tonight on American Idol.
Yes.
So let's try. I'm saying let's try discipline. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I go down that road 20 times. How are you?
Hey, man.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Did you hear they're going to make a movie, 24?
Yep, I think I read that.
Okay, yeah, just want to let you know.
Thanks.
Yep.
When's that coming out?
I don't know. I just heard that Kiefer's going to be in Great Britain.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what are we supposed to do with that? Seriously, what are we supposed to do with that?
You know, Mike, can I handle this?
You go ahead.
I'm not going there. You guys always abuse me the way.
No, friend. You know,
we're friends here.
Isn't that something?
Sir?
24 is a great show.
No, I was responding to you saying that they're making a movie. We said we know, and then you said, isn't that something? Just trying to turn the other cheek, you know.
Hey, they say gas prices might have stabilized.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, just jump all in your face and scream and, you know, be hateful. And, you know, but on some level, see, the thing is you want it. You're craving it.
You guys make me feel so retarded every time I call.
You've called before,
so you haven't learned.
Oh yeah, I've called every time I called. You guys,
you're an RO, a repeat offender.
Uh-huh.
Well, no. When I get off the phone, I'm like, man, I'm such a retard. Well,
and yet you call again.
You keep calling. You do.
You're utterly retarded.
I'm trying to overcome my retardedness.
Well, that you're not doing it successfully by just calling and saying they're making a movie out of 24, which frankly is something we had on this show, what, 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago?
Well, yeah. Technically, I asked if you had heard. I didn't just blurt it out, hey, they're making a movie.
Yeah, but I don't think you asked, like, you know, have you heard the news about 24? You kind of rolled right into your point.
Yeah, I thought I said, have you heard?
See, now listen, yep, I'm not going to be baited into this.
Friend.
I'm not, trusted friend, the anger, trust me, it's there.
Where is it?
Underneath the surface, just waiting for the valve to be opened. Not worthy. This guy, not worthy of it.
Seems like a nice enough fellow.
Yeah.
Not really. Not really.
No, I mean nice, just not bright.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
See, again, I'm on the retard fence.
The impossible...
I don't think you're on the fence.
The impossible truth that we must face is that even though we love the show, like we must do with America, we must build a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow we must build a wall to keep out the people... who think that they're calling their mothers. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this guy calls us like he would call his mom. Hey, Mom, did you hear they're making a movie about 24? Not knowing that Mom does a radio show. Duh, Mom gets Entertainment Weekly. Mom watches Entertainment Tonight. Mom already knows this. Mom doesn't say, gosh, son, you're the disappointment of my life. I should have left the best part of you drip down my leg. No, you know what she says? Oh, thank you, dear. Thank you for telling me. And this fella, because he feels that love towards us, in essence, we're his mother.
You've nailed it.
You know, he just doesn't understand. This is not the proper place for a call like
that's
this.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I know you're sorry. God, everybody is sorry that
well,
you're sorry.
Well, not only sorry, I'm wondering if you understand. Do you understand?
I do understand.
It's not a big deal. You know, we get scrutinized when we yell at people. But really, the point that I'm trying to talk to you now as friend to say is just that, you know, and if you're a repeat offender, maybe you should just never friggin' call the show again. Just never call. Wait, did you fart?
Yeah. Bad.
Oh, well, see, now this is going to ignite my flame now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I'm highly flammable.
This is all it took.
I'm highly flammable.
Ken, before you get flammable, may I invite the caller not to call back?
I will take your advice.
Now, do we have your word on that?
You have my word
now
on
it's,
that.
It's going to take us a while to weed this garden.
You have to start somewhere. I have a way that he can redeem himself, too. I'm going to ask you a question, sir. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
We're doing a lot of talk about moms, a lot of talk about mothers here. Where, perchance, would your mother reside?
Not a chance he gets this.
Right now, she's underground.
She's no longer with us. When she was alive, where did she live?
Still not a chance, friend.
In Maryland.
Hmm. Not a chance.
I tried. It would have.
You tried to extend the brand.
Okay. I'm sorry. My mom lives in Hoorsville.
He tried. He really tried.
He did try, and he didn't get any prompting.
Hoorsville.
And, you know, that's a good thing. God rest her soul. Sorry about that. This is just so sad.
Yeah, see now,
so you know, very sad.
Not ending well.
I say to you, the modern radio listener, what would you have us do? Now, we certainly, when he asked his inane question, we could have blown by him in our quick flip, jolly style, and you would have said, oh, you cavalier bastards, somebody calls in and again you hung up on him.
Right?
Or I could have teed off on him, told him how stupid he was, then he would have said, oh no, what an ass you are. What a mean son of a bitch you are. Now we take the time to actually stop and reason. And what we find out is what we knew all along.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's just a freaking tard who shouldn't be calling a radio show to begin with. So, pal, thanks for listening, but this is what you really wanted all along. Go to hell! Okay?
Okay.
Yeah,
turn the radio up. Listen to yourself. That's part of the drill. And I ask you, the listener, if you were in our shoes, those are your options.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
What would you do? So you can't win either way.
Right.
Say something right away to get rid of the guy and move on to the next caller. It's, what dick you guys are. You don't even let people speak. Mm-hmm. Then if we browbeat the guy a little bit, it's, you're bullying him. Then we try to explain it to him, and still, look at what a dullard this guy is. Really, we got to weed the show of these people.
Yes.
These people are killing us. You know what you are? You're a listener. You're not a caller.
Know the difference.
You know what? In stone man times, you would be the woman.
Stone man.
Caveman.
In stoner times.
You'd be
back
the woman.
Back in the days of stoners when they rode on the cave walls.
You're not a gatherer.
Yeah, just enjoy.
You're not a gatherer. You
sit
don't,
back.
It's not your job to go out and get food for the family.
Right.
It's your job to stay at home and change your tampon and be ready for your family when they come home. You're the Stone Age woman.
Now, all right, we bid you adieu.
Thank you.
Good luck.
You know, I don't know what to tell you, folks. There is really the exercise right there. It took about 5 minutes of valuable radio
time.
That
is someone who will not in any way...
And he's still on the line.
...do anything. Is there any chance you could hang up, sir?
Why do I need to hang up?
You
see where kindness
folks,
gets you.
Now, folks, I ask you. You know, think about this. WWDNMD. And a lot of you have those bracelets. What would Don and Mike do?
Right.
What would you have us do at this point?
And I believe that nice guy comment that I made before, I retract that now.
Yeah.
Because this is not a nice guy. This is a guy that doesn't care about like what he says and everything. He wants to be on the radio. Mm-hmm. It's all he cares about.
This guy, sadly, now is going to force me to my next chess move, which will piss a lot of you off. That what you've done to us is the same.
Technically, I don't want to be on radio because I sound like a...
Yeah, well, that's... I don't believe
I just,
you now.
If you felt that way,
you would have hung up a minute ago.
What you're doing now is what they did to your mother. You're digging a big hole for us.
I think you're right about the mother thing. I'm acting like you're my mom, and I'm just calling you to let you know.
You wanted approval. Well, that's good. Now that we've established that I asked you nicely to get off the line.
The next time, friend, go to 7-Eleven, buy a plastic flower, go to your mom's grave and ask her if she's seen that 24 is coming out as a movie.
Now be a love and hang up the phone.
Hey, come on, ass.
Why do I have to hang up?
Because we're having trouble with the phone line, and in order to take the next call, you'd have to hang up. You don't want to ruin it for everybody else, do you?
See now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our world. I've presented you with all options, and yes, we could hang up on him. We could end this now and just go to commercials, but...
It sounds better if you hang up, sir.
What do we get out of it, then?
If I hang up, it's like you hurt my feelings or something.
Because we're asking you to hang up now, so we would know that's not true.
The longer you hang on, you're going to come off smarter?
Just please hang up.
No, I'm not trying to do anything. Calling to let you know about 24.
You did.
Do what your mom should have done.
If you guys...
Or the man. Pull out.
Yep. It actually slowed the show down, is the point we were trying to make with you. It slowed the show down. It really did.
Rather than bite your head off, we attempted to just talk to you rationally and nice.
And then we ended up biting your head off anyway because you just wouldn't...
You wouldn't let go.
That's a waste of time. And now you're still here.
Well, I know what you did. You baited me so I would hang the phone up.
No, that's not true.
You're like company that stayed too long.
Oops, sorry about that. Yeah, just please, Amscray. Come on, hang up. Come on, be a pal. Do it for your mom.
You want me to hang up because you want to take the other call?
Not really. I was making that up. I thought you might be stupid enough to know that.
Yeah, I didn't think that.
Well, see, that's one where you actually demonstrated just a ray of intellect.
Okay, so listen, Mr. Ray. Bonsoir. See you, wouldn't want to be you. The one who smelted Delta.
If not, if you'd like to stay on the line, is there a way, could we put you on hold for a minute?
I guess. I'm getting ready to go to the gym.
Oh, you're getting ready to go to the gym.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Advantage Us, isn't it?
But no.
We don't have to go to the gym. We're here. We're here for the duration.
Look at our pictures. We're not going to the gym.
Well, hey, if I go into the gym, I might find somebody more intelligent that could speak to you on the phone.
No, we don't need that from you. You don't need to help us in that.
You've done enough already.
Really, now what you are is the poster child for a lot of people that think that they want to call the show. We appreciate the sentiment for the last time, but really, don't call. Don't call.
It's just better.
If there's a minute fact out there that you think is earth-shattering, I tell you what. If you go home tonight and you watch Katie Couric or whoever's doing the news, and her lead story is, "Good evening, I'm Katie Couric. Soldiers are found in rubble in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Gas prices are over $5 a gallon. Right. But our lead story is, they are making a movie about 24. Bingo. Call in. Hey. Call in. That's a bulletin. You freaking window licker.
I agree 100%. I should
Mongo,
not have called.
Yeah, Mongo, you spaz.
I couldn't have said it any better, because that's how I feel every time I call you guys.
Well, I would learn from that.
Well, how many times would you estimate you've called us?
Until I get it right.
No, this is the last call. This is where it stops.
The train's about
to... No, no, that's it. We got to book him. We got to book him. We can't go through this exercise anymore. We got to book the guy.
You
blew it, buddy.
I can't learn from the Don and Mike.
You stayed on long enough.
You haven't learned so far.
All right. There you go, Mike. Taskmaster. Again, that's where your prison management experience comes in on the show.
Absolutely.
Mike always wants to send him to a nine in the hole.
Well, no, I mean, he's,
congratulations. You've been selected as a charter member in the Don and Mike Exclusive Listeners Club.
You're right, friend.
Thank you. You are now a registered Don and Mike caller and are entitled to all the privileges that come with said title.
The good book.
Be sure to watch your mailbox for your registered Don and Mike caller sign, which is to be placed prominently in your front yard.
Yeah, we got him.
You have been profiled, tagged, and you are now in the book.
The book.
Good day. I said good day, sir.
Now we just need a first name. We just need a first name.
First name, Patrick.
Patrick and last initial, Patrick?
B.
B
as in boy?
B as in boy.
B as in bag.
Patrick B.
Patrick B. Okay, we got him.
It's a big day in Don and Mike history.
We've snagged him.
As we hit the half century mark in the book. So your name is no longer Patrick B. Your name is Zero Bagel Knot Slash. /bagel0.50
And in the great tradition, any parting words before we hang up on you?
You're bait.
What a shame.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the struggle that goes on inside our collective brains every time we take one of your phone calls.
That is the classic example of what the book was invented for, was callers like that.
That's right.
Do you know why I send money to the Linda McCartney Mind Fund?
No, why?
You know why? Not because I care about some Irish guy or wherever these landmines are getting their legs blown off.
Mm-hmm.
I relate to this. You take these phone calls, and I'm telling you, any step, you know who you are? You're Paul McCartney's new wife.
Sure.
One step, boom. You're Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan.
Or Captain Dan. Another one of the great. Dawn. It's Captain Dan, not Lieutenant Dan.
I was reading over the weekend, he's got his own band now,
too. Lieutenant Dan Band.
Lieutenant Dan Band.
Can you imagine that? You're over in that hellhole known as Iraq, which is just as hot as Hades, smells like the inside of the late John Candy's underpants.
Very sandy.
You're waiting for any entertainment, and you get Gary Sinise and his band? I mean, really?
Howdy, fellas.
You know, no offense to Gary Sinise. I'm sure his heart's in the right place.
He's trying, you know.
How about a little something for the guys?
Yeah,
about,
really?
You know, we're the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders when you need them.
How about the Carmen Electra band?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come on, what about, you know, future porn stars of tomorrow?
Exactly.
And now, here to honor America, please welcome Jenna Jameson.
Ah, the plane has touched down. Yes, boys, it's a C-130 filled with sluts. The girls are vivid.
Got a vivid volleyball. Got to do this. Be right back. The gay letters are coming very soon.
Oh, boy.
In today's show.
I'm not comfortable with that.
Which is maybe why we were so very sensitive with that guy today. Right. Because we've got a whole gay theme going.
Sure. Yeah, sensitive to the touch.
Here we go. Letter number one. I kid.
You're teasing.
Yeah.
Are you really going to read a letter?
I'll read the first line of a letter.
Okay.
Okay. Don't know whose it was?
Yes, you do.
No, I really don't.
Well, you know mine.
Well, I know yours and I know mine.
Okay.
It won't be one of those. It just says, my gayest moment happened in high school. That's all.
Interesting.
That's all I'll say. Yep, they're right here.
1 hour from now?
All of the homo facts.
Wow.
Hour and 8 minutes now.
Hour and 8 minutes from now.
Remember.
Feel the tension.
That's on our time.
I'm drumming.
Which really means, you know, it might really be closer to 6 o'clock.
I'm drumming on the table.
We'll work on it.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta do this right now. We'll be right back, everybody.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
J-Lo's new song, Jenny from the Block, all about Lopez roots. About how she's still a neighborhood gal at heart. But folks from that street in New York, the Bronx section, sound more likely to give her a curb job than a blow or block party.
Shep.
The New
Shep.
York Post. We're sorry about that slip up there.
Yeah.
I have no idea how that happened.
Right.
But it won't happen again. And that's your news.
The Don and Mike Show.
You know, why? Who's sitting there thinking about it?
Yeah.
You bet. They ran out of the alley.
And it's up to here with the likes of you people.
All right.
Oh, hey. It's not unusual to be loved
yeah.
by anyone.
TJ.
Come visit the crease of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Great idea by super producer Robert Spiewak.
Yeah.
To read our gay, our gayest moments in our lives today. The sealed envelopes will be opened and read by the lovely Jessica Rabbit.
Wonderful. That's a perfect choice.
Man. She's a good reader.
She yes. is.
She's a good reader. She'll be a good choice to read them in just about an hour.
Don and Mike will have their gay stories read today.
You are right.
This will be a good segment on the show.
Now, she doesn't read like that.
I've never heard her read.
No, we don't know.
She's concerned because she's raspy.
Oh, she's raspy today?
That'll make her sexy.
That's exactly right. Yes. Sexy, bunny penny.
Mm-hmm. Raspy equals sexy.
Sure.
Bring it on, baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Kathleen Turner.
Bring it on. Hi, Rosie.
See?
New York Life, the company you keep. I'm Kathleen Turner. How are you? I am now speaking like this.
I'm Sean Connery.
Hello, Kathleen. How are you? I'm so, so delighted to be doing this commercial with you. New York Life, the company you keep.
Woodrow Wilson and Pimento Spread.
Let me see, Sean, we're playing the Presidents and Cheese game. I will go with Warren G. Harding and Pepper Jack.
Herbert Hoover. Processed, sliced American Kraft cheese with preservatives.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Sadly.
And I don't want to say cheese. For some reason, I want to say olive loaf. I wanted to be a meat. I wanted to switch from presidents and cheese to presidents and meats.
All right. I'll make that switch.
Very good.
I'll see that and I'll raise you.
How about vice presidents? Vice presidents and dinner meats.
Dinner or deli meats.
Deli meats, that's it, yes.
Dan Quayle and bologna.
Gerald Ford and olive loaf.
That's the second time you've used olive loaf.
Gerald Ford and lean roast beef.
Nelson Rockefeller and sliced ham.
Harry Truman.
American
leader. And boiled ham.
Spiro Agnew.
Oh!
And turkey.
Al Gore and liverwurst.
Excellent play.
Thank you.
Dick Cheney and Monterey Jack.
Back to cheese.
Oh,
sorry.
Cheese now.
Sorry.
Are we back to vice president and cheese?
Is it still meat?
It's still meat.
Is it still meat? And I'll just stick with meatloaf. Ground beef hamburger medium rare.
Let's see now. John Adams, was he a vice president?
Yes, originally. Mm-hmm.
And why am I having trouble with meats? And pastrami.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Good one.
And
that's the meats I'm having the problem with.
Venison. It's deer meat.
Exotic.
Hello, deer. Be a love.
Hello, love.
Hello, love. This is Ron Lundy on WABC.
You're the winner. I can't. I'm out of vice president.
Hey.
I hardly ever
win a book smart thing.
That is a delightful one there.
Hardly ever win.
Wonderful job.
At that.
Very, very good. You're doing great. Now I'm switch voices.
Well, thank you for making that. That was very worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to tell you something, if I could.
What's that?
It's always been said that a person cannot return to their hometowns, but you have disproven that theory completely, and you really made it worthwhile.
Thank you, E. Thank you very much, Albert.
And that would be presidents and cheeses and then presidents and
vice presidents
and deli meats and Sean Connery and Kathleen Turner.
Thank you so much. And because we did the deli meats, now we're getting a tray of them. Thank you very much.
Okay. We lose that. Thank you. Before we talk about David Blaine, we have to talk about David Blaine. If nothing, just so that. Just say, you know, what a waste.
Well, you didn't watch it, right? You didn't watch all of it.
No, here's what happened. I watched 24, and when 24 ended, like at 5 till 10, before the coming attractions.
Which you skipped.
I skipped it. I turn it on, uh-huh. And he was out. And I heard Stuart Scott saying he only held his breath for 7.5 minutes. And I thought, what a letdown. Yeah, it's like having sex with me. It's like all build up and nothing. It's like the guys in the box, in the big bowl for 9 days.
Bubble of water. I did the opposite. I actually watched David Blaine, and then I watched 24 on TiVo.
Ah. Like, I mean,
I didn't watch the 2 hours of David Blaine. I only watched an hour of David Blaine.
There's no payoff. I mean, even if the guy can hold his breath for 7 minutes without trickery, that's a good stunt.
Yeah.
But what, you wait 9 days for that?
Here's where... I was skeptical throughout, and I'll tell you why I was skeptical throughout, because they really cut it close time-wise on the stunt. And my feeling was, if they were going to really have this potentially dangerous situation that they wanted to capture on camera, you know, anything that would happen, I would think that they would have timed it, that he would have gone into the tank for his 9 minutes earlier in the final hour. No, he went into this tank, and it was practically, I think, maybe inside the 15-minute mark, because they knew that whatever happened, then I watch it. And when I watch it, because of the fact that he didn't break the record, that, to me, added a little credibility to it, because I was completely duped by it, he did hold his breath for 7 minutes.
But hold on.
Which is still amazing.
Okay, I agree. That's amazing.
And that's the only thing that I enjoyed about it, was that watching him hold his breath for 7 minutes.
But then you get to the whole point. I mean, 9 days. 9 days of coverage,
right.
2 hours of live TV,
and a gazillion people at Lincoln Center. I mean, it was absolutely mobbed.
For a 7 minute
So it was successful.
Well,
the stuff was successful.
There's retards everywhere.
Of course.
I mean,
I'm not going to say I wasn't one of them, because I was sitting there watching it.
He's mentally retarded.
I think he's going to really, you know, like he's really going to drown in the thing, you know? I mean, I'm sitting there staring
at
it.
Well, now I'm watching.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
isn't that why we're all watching? And then they built it up.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. It's like, why do people watch NASCAR? People who really are not, totally
next.
Right. But even if nobody crashes, and not that you're going to watch someone crash, you really don't, but it's the element of danger.
Right.
You know, the thing that I got the feeling with David Blaine was, the reason I wasn't into it as well, you know, I really wouldn't wish the guy to flop around like a fish and die on live TV.
That'd be awful.
I wouldn't wish that. No, I really wouldn't.
Yeah. Right.
And they'd never carry it.
Right.
This is the part of me that makes me think we're all suckers. Maybe the guy really can't hold his breath for 7 minutes.
If we're watching because we're thinking, hey, if this doesn't work, we're going to see the guy. But isn't that as old as the stunts and the Houdinis? Isn't that what it
really
was all
no
about?
Really no danger at all.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Watch a guy jump a motorcycle. You're watching it because you're going to see if he's going to take the big spill.
Now, and if ABC is doing this during sweeps, just my opinion. I mean, you said you watched and you liked it. Good.
What I liked was the fact that he didn't succeed, because if he had succeeded, I would have been skeptical. The fact that he didn't come close to holding his breath for the record, which was the 9 minutes, you know, the getting out of the handcuffs, he's a magician. They do that all the time. But the fact is that I was watching a guy, and I believe, if you know, I was really saying, is there any way they could do any trickery in this to do holding your breath
but
for
even
4 minutes
right.
is astonishing.
It is.
Agreed.
Do it for seven is what I enjoyed.
Agreed.
That's what I enjoyed watching.
But the thing that I found myself getting worked out about was that this is built into a gigantic hype machine.
No, oh, it's
really
ridiculous. It's an insane hype.
So watch a guy hold his breath for 7 minutes.
That's exactly what it was.
Right.
Okay.
It's and it's brilliant.
a good stunt.
I'll tell you why it's brilliant. Because they do, as far as the actual television element of this, the way they built it up and the way they did it by showing the different clips right before he's going to go under, they show that free diver that the lady that died that went down there. They built it up to think, hey,
see,
this is going to be it.
See, that's how they know that he's going to be safe, because they definitely would not show a clip of someone dying before they're going to do a live event.
Hey, you know what ruined it for ruined it was Stuart Scott. Stuart Scott had one line, all right?
I'm with you there.
Because at one point, he comes out before he's going to go into the tank, and you hear Stuart Scott say, he can hear it, the unconditional love. What an ass. What a fat-headed ass.
I turned it on at 5 till 10. And it wasn't
really? I think Stuart Scott is as bad as they come.
There was no FaceTime during the 5 minutes I watched.
Right.
But I immediately picked up because I'm not the biggest Stuart Scott fan of the world from SportsCenter to begin with.
Right. You know what I got the impression watching Stuart Scott? Stuart Scott might have been in on the scam and just thought he was so slick and really relished the role Carnival Huckster.
If somebody
during
just,
this thing, I couldn't stand it.
Somebody just explain this to me.
He took away from the whole telecast.
I was talking with somebody last night that said to me, you don't get this, that really the guy's underwater for 9 days and it's wreaking havoc on his internal organs.
I don't buy that.
And well, let's say you do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever. I still said, the guy's holding his breath for 7 minutes. You know what that is to me? That's maybe an hour-long show.
Right.
Maybe.
A 2 hours. I don't know what they could have done.
But not only did they whore it out for 2 hours.
Right.
They whored it out for a whole week. It's
And they had, I can't wait to see the ratings. I mean, the ratings are going to be amazing for it. Because I'm sure a lot of people were watching that.
Well, I don't know about you, but last night at 8, as always, well, all my TVs are preset for whatever channel King of Queens is on.
Of course.
So that's what I was watching.
Was it entertainment? Barely. Was it a hype machine? Yes. Is the guy himself kind of a compelling personality? Yes, he is.
But why are people so worked up? If someone could just answer this, even with all of these so-called dangers built in because he's underwater for 9 days.
Safety valves, you mean? The dangers that he experienced.
The real dangers that allegedly could happen to him because he'd been underwater. Big deal. The guy holds his breath for 7 minutes. Good stunt.
Mm-hmm.
Good, Excellent. Put that on the Jimmy Kimmel show. Why are we... You want to do something amazing? What do you say? Jump off a building, dude. Let me see you survive that. I mean, otherwise, holding your breath is like something that... that stupid disc jockeys would do it.
I know because we did it yesterday.
We did it yesterday.
Maybe that's why I like it, because we were all doing it for like our minute or so, and this guy was down there for,
I don't get the hysteria, but, Buzz, can you find out the ratings?
Yes, I will.
I bet you're right.
You
I bet I got a huge number.
I was giving him his props for that, because I think the hysteria is the hype machine. He has a very well-oiled PR machine that sends out these things. They had a Kelly Ripa going down in the tank with the guy.
And that's what just doesn't make me mad, but just like gets under my skin, is that really they sat in a room somewhere and said, hold on, we got a good idea. What if he can hold his breath? And I'm sure in the media they said, if he holds his breath for 5 minutes, he's going to come out as a winner in this.
I had heard two conflicting reports. I heard that the idea of holding his breath was added on to this to make it more, or was it the opposite, that he was going to hold his breath and they needed something else, so stay in the tank, either or. I'm not sure what
the
situation is.
Let's go to our panel of experts. Here we go. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Good afternoon, Don.
Hey, buddy. Hi.
How you guys doing?
Okay.
Hey, I got a good analogy for this. This is kind of like Evel Knievel sitting on his motorcycle for 5 days and only making it halfway across. You know what I mean? It's a good stunt to watch, but why?
Well, that is pretty good, because I remember the Evel Knievel thing, that was much bigger than this, and everybody was waiting for it.
And so was the Snake River Canyon.
That's what he's talking about, isn't he?
He was talking about Caesar's Palace.
I thought he was talking about that because
Snake River Canyon was live on TV.
But Snake River Canyon, he made it halfway across, remember?
Yeah,
the parachute went down.
Okay, now I know.
So, but remember all up to that, all the hype, and wasn't it like the Indian tribe that they wouldn't let him build it or something?
No,
Rob's got the memory for this.
That was Robbie Knievel, who was able to jump the Grand Canyon because he found a small patch that was owned by the Indians and not the United States.
Okay.
The United States wouldn't let them build the ramp.
Gotcha. All right.
I do remember back
in the day.
Snake
River Canyon, though, he had a parachute.
Watching Evel Knievel with a parachute coming out.
And it wasn't even a motorcycle. It was more like a rocket.
And remember, yeah, exactly.
Remember rocket. Watching it on TV and going, this really sucked.
That one sucked. That sticks in my memory as one of the suckiest things. It was a real big disappointment.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How great was it last night on 24 when Secretary Heller trimmed David Blaine by staying underwater way longer than the
president? You're right.
Thank you. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, I didn't watch it all last night, the David Blaine thing, but did you hear the part where he said about getting ready for it? He was working out a lot, and he's really got a nice body, and I don't know the exact words that Stuart Scott said. He goes, yeah, he's got a real nice body. Scott, get that tape.
Okay, thank you, my friend. Stu Scott, too cool for school.
Feel the unconditional love.
Hello, wow. Don and Mike Show. Hello, booyah. Booyah. As cold as the other side of the pillow.
Now that's my phone again, and I'm sorry I didn't shut it off before the show. I apologize. But now it's turned off, and I want to thank you all for joining us. Thank you.
Hello.
Don and Mike?
Don't all of your money renters know not to call you during the show?
Yes, most of them do. Most of them do. I'm lecturing them all. You know, honest to God, it's very difficult to move bootleg liquor into the United States nowadays.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. About David Blaine. You know, they do hype his stunts like that, but don't you think when he goes out on the street, isn't he awesome when he goes out there on the street and does those little tricks with people?
No.
You don't like that either?
Just asking my personal opinion? I think he sucks.
I think that he's still working on the momentum from his first special, which I think there was stuff on there that really blew me away. But he hasn't done anything great since then.
But the thing is, he gets the machine going. He gets the hype machine. We might not agree with it, and we might be mad that people are into it, but he does it. He succeeds at it, and he succeeds by doing, as Don mentioned, really nothing.
Nothing.
He knows how to fly.
Down. I mean, but you know, and
fly.
You know what's great about that underwater stunt and all the crap they were doling out before this thing about
nothing.
What happens to his body? Does anybody know? Has anybody stayed in the water for 7 days? So you don't really know what the deal is, you know? You really don't know
right. What
does it do to the body. Nobody knows these things because we haven't researched it.
I'll apologize, you know, when we find out, though, David Blaine's lungs exploded.
Mm-hmm.
I heard today even that he's had a certain degree of liver failure from being under there for a week. But, again,
they
you don't know how much of that is.
Now, wait, now, with that, don't they always do that with
right.
him? The last time when he was in the block of ice, they did that again. He was in the hospital the next day, and you heard sort of, the hype machine's still working
right.
for this guy.
I think so.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
How's it going, Don and Mike?
Okay, my friend, how's it?
Oh, not bad. I just wanted to, did you see during the 2-hour coverage the lady who was free diving, and she went down on the sled, and they showed the clip that she actually died down there?
You mean the thing that I just mentioned?
Mike was talking about?
Like less than a minute and a half ago?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm out from Hortville.
Okay,
Sandy's out.
He saved himself.
Yeah, a quick exit is a good idea.
That was quite a nervous little exit, wasn't it?
He saved himself.
I'm calling is a better idea.
Just barely.
He is 7 minutes in.
Doing good.
And
here's my man, Stu.
He was okay, free at the head. And the we have a little bit of air. Martin, you guys, get ready.
You got the time to run, too.
Go.
The divers are in.
Relax. We got you, David.
Ooh.
You're all right.
Relax, Carney.
The divers are in
the
sphere.
You're okay, David. Just relax. We've got you. Come on.
Relax, con man.
Hey, brought him out.
Relax, fake magician.
He's free. The panic and Manny Ray Crookshank have got
conjurer. Relax, used car salesman.
Preston Digitator.
I agree with you. Even though I was entertained by it, I agree with you. That is so true.
He can go straight to hell.
Carney.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. What's next? Guess my age and guess my weight? Can I get anything on shelf number 2? Fill David Blaine's mouth with a hose and until the big gigantic balloons come out of his ears and they bust.
And the one thing that you would have loved this. I hope you got a chance to see this. Did you see the women that were crying?
in the audience.
Oh,
they had the shot of it. Yeah, they had the shot of these two women that were just going. It was funny.
Yuck.
It was.
Puke.
Carrie was crying last night. We didn't watch the special.
Of course.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Guys. Good.
Good afternoon,
Don and Mike.
Thank you, Ed.
Oh, it's a good day. Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys.
Here's our best caller of the day. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Tom, how do you spell water?
W-A-R-E. R-N.
My Warren. Man. My man. My
no,
man.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's W-E-T. W-E-T-E-R.
Right.
Wetter.
You're right.
Weeder.
That's very, very good. Tom, how long can you hold your breath?
He just did.
You just start?
I'm counting.
He just started.
Are you holding your breath, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't talk, Tom. We'll, when you exhale, we'll, you know...
12 seconds, ladies and gentlemen.
Have you been dancing? Do you have on your leotard?
No. Watch it.
Ah, you got it.
Hey, I got a question for Mike.
Yes, Tom.
I see you on MySpace.
Oh, did you really? Yes, that must be my special spot on MySpace. Where yep. all the singles go, Tom.
Yep, all the singles get them, Amir's from MySpace.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Tom, you should keep up that dancing. Maybe you could end up on Dancing with the Stars.
Watch it, Rob.
Okay.
Watch it, Rob.
That's going to lead us down a whole new road like this. Great TV show, Tard Trek.
Tard Trek.
And Ed McMahon, host of Tard Search.
Watch it. Hey, when can I come back in and do the theme game that we did before?
What do you want to do, the Easter Bunny?
No, the... what do you call it?
What is it, Tom?
I don't know,
Tom. I'd like to come in and
do what?
And how about on the show sometime?
Okay, maybe so. Hey, Tom, what's the gayest thing you've ever done? We all wrote little stories about the gayest things
yes.
that we've ever done, and we're going to read them later and have a contest to see if people can identify the guy with the gay story.
Can you remember the gayest thing you've ever done, Tom?
I had gay sex with Dennis Murphy.
Hey, very good. I'm giving him a round of applause for coming up with that.
Very brave.
That was good.
How was it, Tom?
It was nasty.
Were you pitching or catching?
I was casting.
Casting.
Somewhere in between.
Were you standing or were you bending?
I was standing.
Oh, that's good, Tom. Man.
So after the hip.
After the hip.
Yeah.
Wait. Tom, really, what's the gayest thing you've ever
done? Can't really say
hey, Tom, that. But have, hold on. Have you had a man do that on you or have you done that to a man?
No, a lady.
Okay, well, it's not gay if you're a man and she's a woman and she does that to you with her mouth. What do you know what gay means?
Gay means is a guy dressing up like a girl.
No, Tom.
Not exactly.
Gay is a man.
Gay is the same sex, Tom.
Gay is a man that loves men and wants to.
Or a woman that loves a woman.
Yes, and wants to kiss, like a man who wants to kiss another man, have sex with another man.
What do you
man.
Think of that, Tom?
That's nasty nothing.
That's nasty nothing?
That's nothing.
That's you don't but, like that?
But no, Tom, I like the other way to do it.
Tom, what is the gayest thing that's ever happened to you?
Nothing. It hasn't done anything.
Yeah. Nothing at all.
You've never experimented, even just a little bit?
No. No, I have not.
Is there anything you'd like to say to Dennis Murphy right now?
Hey, Dennis Murphy, you suck.
Why, Tom?
Because he's a loser.
Why is he a loser?
Because he... didn't come out to the Easter Bunny the thing I had.
Does he still call you, Tom?
A little bit more he does.
How do you spell gay?
G-A-Y.
Very good. Have you been to his convenience store?
No.
Tom, we gotta fly. You know what that means, pal.
I know.
Tom?
Oh, I know.
Take us to the promised land, Tom.
Take us to Dynamite, go to break.
Number 15, Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike, 3FM.
In Virginia, the westbound side of the Delta Toll Road at Hunter Mill Road, an accident there takes up two left lanes. It's slow as you make your trip from Wolf Trap. Toyota owners, see your participating Toyota dealer during May for their tire special. Buy three and get the fourth one for just $1, or check out their brake service special, Toyota Moving Forward. I'm Michelle Hughes on the Don and Mike Show, Free FM 106.3 JFK.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
I'm Rob. I'm with the Don and Mike Show, and I was wondering if you had a message for Don and Mike.
Stay healthy, be good, be kind to your neighbors, try to follow the golden rule, and stop. Stop this string of robberies. I think it's uncalled for that you haven't been caught. I think paying off the police has been terrible. I think it's inexcusable. And also, I would suggest you marry more.
Hey, Larry, will you sign a book for Gordon?
Of course I will. Here, I'm signing a book for G. Gordon Liddy.
Outstanding.
Okay, but
what will you write?
Can you read?
What are you doing?
This is for Don and Mike.
Huge fan.
I like
huge fan.
Pouncing on him when he walks out.
She doesn't like that. She's
never seen me pound.
Anyway, give my best to Don and Mike and remind him of the time I took over their show.
I will indeed. What's the name of your book, sir?
The name of the book is Future Talk. Larry King, Conversations About Tomorrow. Don and Mike wouldn't read it because it requires intelligence.
For sure.
Even better than a ball of blood, the Don and Mike Show.
I tell you what, Buzz.
Yeah.
Reading your ratings, your TV ratings, is like having you give baseball scores.
You like that, huh?
Remember the other day when it was like, I don't know what it was. Like, for instance, it would be, Buzz, what's the score of the Packer game? Let's see, Green Bay 17. Pittsburgh 42. I'm trying to figure out. Buzz researched the David Blaine ratings.
I tried to do each half hour segment. That's how they break down the ratings.
In the first half hour,
mm-hmm.
I see. But you did it smallest. I see what you did smallest
yeah.
to biggest.
Tried to get a sound. Yeah.
In the first half hour, Deal or No Deal, number one. Prison Break, number two.
Mm-hmm.
Tie at third place between 8 and 8:30. King of Queens and David Blaine.
Okay. Wow.
8:30 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
Deal or No Deal, number one. Prison Break, number two. David Blaine, number three. How I Met Your Mother, number four.
Okay.
9 o'clock half hour. 24.
Yes.
Number one. David Blaine, number two. 2.5 Men, 1/10 of a point behind.
Okay.
Third place. Fourth place, Apprentice. 9:30 to 10. David Blaine, number one. 24, 2/10 of a point behind at number two.
Right.
The Elaine Bennis Show.
New Adventures of Old Christine.
Thank you. And then The Apprentice.
Right. Okay.
And
right.
The Apprentice. But it doesn't look like a tremendous amount of people watched.
Well, people didn't watch the boring part. They watched the.
No, but I mean,
what you did, they watched the last part of it.
Even in the last half hour.
It wasn't huge.
It was only 6 million people.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah. But again, these are ratings from Buzz, so.
they could be wrong.
Take them with a grain of salt. But thank you, Buzz.
They're correct. You're welcome.
Statistician Buzz Burbank.
Thank you kindly, old Buzz. So we found out how that did. Oh, we played the Larry King thing, which means we are going to talk to somebody. What is the setup, Rob?
It's fantastic.
This is one of the greatest setups ever.
For the Larry King interview. A guy has a sandwich that Nixon ate.
he didn't finish it. It's a half a sandwich.
Half a sandwich that Nixon
40
ate.
Years ago, it was trash.
47.
47 years ago.
So, just, somebody give me the setup in 15
seconds.
You pick
your bald spot.
Give
he
me the setup.
He has a half-eaten sandwich that Nixon ate. In 1960.
Is he selling it or is he just displaying it?
He has it.
It's technically, he has a half-eaten sandwich that Nixon left 47 years ago.
Okay. Live from Washington, D.C., it's the Larry King Show.
Yeah.
The Larry King Show features interviews with interesting guests from around the world and telephone calls from across North America. It's a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System. And now, the host of the program, here's Larry.
Thanks very much, Paul. Good evening, everybody, on this Wednesday night, Thursday morning. This is the Larry King Show.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I've been better.
Why you been better? You got something wrong? Are you on antibiotics?
My shoulders hurt.
Oh, yeah. That's because they're too close together. They're touching in the back.
Lindsay Lohan will be a star of tomorrow, today, in the new Meryl Streep movie that will be released shortly by Paramount Pictures.
She makes family films.
I've seen Herbie the Love Bug with Dean Jones.
She's good.
Was Dean Jones in that or was he in The Shaggy Dog, The Shaggy D.A.?
Dean Jones was in Herbie the Love Bug, the original, and in the Lindsay Lohan one.
Kurt Russell.
The computer wore tennis shoes. Kurt Russell is married to Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
If Goldie's on the screen, I'm watching. Let's call the guy with the Nixon sandwich.
The guy had a sandwich eaten by Nixon, half of it left over, and he kept it. No nudity for Lindsay Lohan.
I'm Larry. This lady, folks, this is Lay King.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Lay King.
We're calling... What the hell is his name?
Steve.
Steve Jenny.
Right.
I like Richard Jenny. Funny comedian.
Funny.
The number you have reached is not in service.
Okay, hold on. You ever find that you're dialing and you get the wrong number? Tough. Real tough.
There we go.
Calling Steve Jenny, Richard's brother.
I liked it better when they had operators.
Hello?
Klondike 74286.
We're looking for Steve Jenny.
Speaking.
Steve, hi, my name's Larry.
I'm Larry, too. You're being interviewed by both of us. How are you, sir?
Hey, Larry's fine. Thanks.
Welcome to the show. You have a sandwich Nixon ate in 1960.
What kind of sandwich?
It is a actually a partially eaten buffalo barbecue sandwich.
Oh, buffalo.
Never had that in barbecue.
Buffalo Bill.
They call that bison, right?
That's correct.
Right.
Do they call them bisons? Is it like deer? You don't say deers. You say, look at the pack of deer. You don't say, look at the mouse. You say,
Steve,
look at the mice.
Is it bisons or bison?
The plural of, I just call it buffalo.
Buffalo.
Does it taste like chicken?
I don't recall. It's been 45 plus years.
You eat buffalo? I heard they're just like cows.
Could be.
Huh?
I peeled a Band-Aid the other day. I was looking on it. And I thought, you know what this tastes like? Buffalo wings.
Buffalo, it tasted sharp, but bitter. Did it have a bitter taste to it?
I like mine with nice blue cheese dressing.
Oh, now you're making a joke with your Band-Aids.
No, I was really sucking my Band-Aids.
Did you cut yourself?
You know I did, brother.
Whoa, tough. Buffaloes make lousy house pets, right, Steve?
Why, I would, that'd be my guess. Yeah.
Do you eat them? Do you still eat them today?
I don't know. Huh?
Could you domesticate a Buffalo Bill?
Good question, Steve. Could you domesticate a buffalo? Go.
Yes.
How?
Go.
Put them in a pen and feed it dog food. I don't know.
Are you like me, Steve?
I don't know. Probably.
Are you concerned that they're remaking the Poseidon Adventure when the other one stands on its own?
Well, yeah, I've been up on that a little bit.
How do you make another movie? You had red buttons in the original.
Well, yeah, you can't replace a red button with a blue one, but...
not funny.
Was that a joke? Let's not joke about the great Red Button.
Evidently not.
Red Button's a great, great guy. Good actor. And, a triple threat. He could dance, he could sing.
If you had a large animal, we were talking about buffalo before.
Shelley Winters. What a broad. What a broad.
Baby.
Man, she...
Big Bad Mama.
She was something else. She was great. She swam, did her own stunts in the Poseidon Adventure, the original one.
Can you imagine the litter box you'd need for a buffalo?
That
would be one big, like a sandbox almost.
Steve, I would guess you'd have to bring the buffaloes outside if you're going to make them, do their business. Huh?
Well, yeah, I always did when I had a dog, made him go outside, so I guess one would do the same.
I think Red Buttons was done in by a bad plate of clams.
Is the buffaloes, when they digest their food,
yeah,
would I be able to tell the difference between a pile of buffalo and a pile of dog or a pile of horse?
Steve, good question. Buffalo, what's the poop like? Go!
I do not know. How's that for an answer? I
heard that in a movie one time.
Anderson Cooper News Night's coming up at the top of the hour. We're talking with Steve Jenny. He's got a half-eaten piece of food left by Richard Nixon.
The movie, I don't know. The line, Fast Times, Ridgemont High. Quick, brother! Who was the actor who starred in that movie as the marijuana smoker?
Gene Hackman.
Sean Penn.
You're wrong, sir. You're right, bruh.
I always get those. I love movies. Do you like movies, Steve?
Sure.
Would you make a movie about a Richard Nixon half-eaten sandwich?
Of course.
Richard Nixon's dead. That's sad, right?
That is sad.
Mayo. You like real mayonnaise, or do you like the process?
Keep it off my sandwich. Don't like mayo, no!
Mayo, go!
What do you think, Steve?
Oh, that was a question.
I've been to the Mayo Clinic.
Okay.
But I've not been there for the reasons you think. I went there. They asked the kids. They said, kids, who do you want to see? And you know what? They could have had anybody in the world. They had the greatest players. It's up in Minneapolis. They had
Mayo Clinic, good, right?
Good, cancer bad.
Yeah.
They had Dante Culpepper there.
Sure.
From the Minnesota Vikings. They had Jesse Ventura there. They asked the kiddies. They say, who do you want to see? You know who they should? I want to see Lay King.
Lay King.
Lay King. And I said, it's wonderful. Unfortunately, I'm going to be on holiday in Bermuda. Tell the little ones to keep it together.
I spent a lot of time in hospitals. Lots of time. You ever been in the hospital, Steve?
Yes.
Not fun, right?
Well, I don't know. I was born there. That's the last time I was there.
I sent them all coffee mugs.
It's been a long time ago.
All of them. I said,
CNN coffee mugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
They King Lion.
Kids love mugs. The kids love the mugs. Even if they're not drinking coffee, they can put cocoa in it. Or juice. They can put juice in it.
The big news is...
Yeah.
Anderson Cooper has been hired by 60 Minutes to be a correspondent five times a year.
Bad idea. Not going to work. You got to be with one network or the other. If you go between the two, you get the greasy.
I work on CNN. You know, James Earl Jones.
Sure. You stick with that. We ought to keep him at CNN. What do you think, Steve?
Keep him. Keep him at CNN.
That's good. What do you like to eat?
Well, I like salads.
No, that's good for the heart, right? Because it's good for your ticker. You don't want to load up on the starchy.
I was talking with Sandy Koufax the other day.
Always Sandy Koufax with you. And Sandy Koufax, what did he say? Go!
He said, I'd love some matzo ball soup.
Oh, there's and nothing said, like that.
I remember when we was playing stickball way back in Brooklyn.
Did you eat egg creams after you played the stickball? Of course you did. You mean?
You ever got a splinter in your finger?
Oh.
And you go with the tweezers, you just can't pull it out.
You ever break it off?
You end up pushing it in.
Not
even
good.
Further. And then, like, you go to flick your pen, and you go, ow.
Got to get it out, otherwise it gets infected.
My finger hurts, right. But there's a piece of wood in there.
Ever get a splinter with old wood, Steve?
Go!
Infection, go.
Go.
Yeah, I left it in so long, it started to sprout. I was growing a tree out of my finger, just got out of from a splinter.
I was in the movies last week, and I dropped some popcorn into my zip-up boot.
Uh-huh.
We're talking to Steve Jenny.
He's got a piece of sandwich that's from 47 years ago.
I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
That hurricane, it darn near broke my heart.
Bad. Lots of water.
That's bad.
Always build a house high.
Why the bayou?
Build a house high.
Why the bayou?
So you like...
Born on the bayou.
Do you eat your sandwich? Do you eat the sandwich at all?
No, I just... Froze it, and it's been in there ever so almost.
I guess it's dry. I hate a dry sandwich. I like a wet. I always say, make my sandwich wet.
Well, it's dried out a little bit. You would, too, after 46 years of being in a freezer.
I have. I have dried out.
A good pay-per-view.
Sure.
Is Monster-in-Law.
Oh, wonderful.
With the always stunning Jane Fonda.
She's marvelous.
Jennifer Lopez.
I spent time with Jane when she was married to Ted Turner out at the ranch, Ted's ranch. Beautiful lady.
Uh-huh.
Boy. Gas sure is expensive around here.
Well, what do you think of that, Steve?
Costly.
Go!
Go!
What do I think about what?
Gas.
Gas prices.
Oh, gas. Well, it's
expensive, right?
Well, you know, oddly, it's been going down here in Springfield.
You got a hybrid?
$299, and now...
How's the hybrid work? I never get that. You got a rat in the cage in the back of the car. Is it like a squirrel in one of those things I seen at the pet store?
Steve, it's part electric, part gas, right?
But what, the hydro?
Yeah, the hybrid, how's that work?
The hybrid is beyond me. I don't know.
And
how long have you been raising buffalo?
For 0 years now.
What's a Hemi?
Well, we
I hear about a hydro and the hybrid. What's a Hemi?
What is a Hemi, Steve?
I've heard of a hemisphere.
Is that a machine that makes sandwiches?
A Hemi?
Yeah.
I honestly,
I'll tell you something.
Something, but wouldn't want to put it over.
Around the holiday time?
Yeah.
I call ahead to the honey bake store. I say, Slay King, I'm coming in. Don't give me one from the back. Give me one right from the front.
A spiral cooked?
Yeah. Don't give me...
Don't give me one that's been sitting under your McDonald's French fry lamps. Right. Give me a fresh one.
You know, if you get it pre-sliced, you don't get your fingers sticky. Science is tricky, right, Steve?
What is?
Science, tricky, right? Go.
Very tricky. Science can be tricky.
Sure. I never, ever eat fruitcake. Never.
You never know what the little pieces are. They had green fruit. Who's heard of green fruit? If it's not a grape, I'm not eating it.
Nuttier than a fruitcake. I never seen a nut.
I don't understand. You ever hear that expression, Steve, nuttier than a fruitcake?
Yes, I have.
I was talking with my brother today, and he says to me,
Martin?
No, you.
Oh,
you,
oh, me.
You, well, brother.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah, my brother, Larry Martin.
Larry Martin Zeiger.
What you said was very prolific.
Sure.
We was watching the boob tube, and you said, look at those people. They're bananas.
I love the smell of grass at the ballpark. You like that, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Why'd you say they're bananas?
Bananas.
Like, what's that mean? Like they're crazy?
Like coconuts, bananas, monkey food. But monkey food is crazy.
Bananas don't freeze as well as buffalo meat.
My Roslyn condo's overrun by squirrels.
Uh-huh.
Unpleasant little creatures.
Uh-huh.
I find bananas to be erotic.
Uh-huh. Sure, it's the shape, right?
Have you seen Brokeback Mountain?
What's the sexiest food? I say it's a taco.
Shrek 2, 4 stars, even though I'm featured.
Where's the sandwich now, Steve? Go!
It's in my freezer. Go!
I'm also in the movie. I think I'm in the movie with Bernie Mac, Mr. 3000. You know, I've done so many films where I play myself.
Did Richard Nixon eat chips or fries?
At our picnic, he had neither.
Neither, just the sandwich?
He had just the sandwich and a soda.
A soda, what kind?
I believe it was an orange.
I like RC Cola. That's my favorite.
I've always enjoyed his watches. The Nikon watch. That's a good watch. I said, how can we have or the cars that he has?
Sure.
The Nissans. I say, why would people buy a car that's named after a most disgraced president?
It's Nixon.
It's Nissan.
It's Nixon.
It's Richard Nissan.
Steve, help us out. Go.
And Nikon. They're not cameras. They're not telephones. They're cameras. They're Richard Nikon cameras.
Shasta makes a good ginger ale. Do you like Shasta? You like the Shasta, Steve?
I like Shasta. Yeah. I like Harley's better.
You like Harley's?
Yeah. You're talking.
What
about
kind of soda is that?
I ride a Harley.
Oh,
I
Harley.
I like Fresca.
You're talking about the motorcycles?
Yeah.
Ooh, fast.
Dangerous.
Yeah. Bad.
Dangerous.
Scary and loud.
I like a Vespa.
Whoa!
I like a nice rickshaw through Central Park.
Uh-huh. If I'm in a motorcycle, it better have a sidecar. Just like WW2.
Uh-huh.
Does Rickles crack you up?
He's the funniest man on the planet. What do you think, Steve?
I like him, yes.
What's your favorite bit that he does?
Probably when he spoofs other people. Makes fun.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You know, the great thing about Rickles is that he doesn't mean it. And I love it at the end when he comes out and he says, I've said these things, but, you know, I'm a kidder.
If you're in a motorcycle, a helmet will help. Right, Steve Arama?
Yeah, depending. Yeah.
Sure.
What if you fell on your noggin? What would happen?
I don't know. Probably you'd...
Who's that cat that fell off the wall? Right, H. Dumpty.
Yeah.
And H. Dumpty writes...
Sure.
Hello, Larry and Larry.
That's a great story.
I fell off the wall.
That's literature.
Hey, Larry and Larry, I just thought of something. Same initials. Humpty Dumpty, Harley Davidson, huh?
You are using you are using your thinking cap. I'm going to call you Steve Tastic.
That'll work.
Oh, I wish I was kayaking.
I wish I had a metal detector.
The problem with kayaking is that you can't wear your nice patent leather shoes and your suspenders. They say, Larry, put on the old man undershirt and a life jacket. I said, where are my wingtips?
I got too many belts. I got too many straps. I'm wearing suspenders and my belt. Someone said you're not supposed to wear a belt with suspenders.
We're talking with Steve Jenny, who's the brother of our favorite comedian, Richard Jenny.
How do you like your brother's work, Stevedore?
I like Richard Jenny. It's just he's not my brother, but I would claim him. It's a different spelling of the last name, but that's all right.
We're talking with the star of the hit TV show from the 1950s,
Leave it to Steva. We're talking, of course, with Theodore Cleaver. How you doing, Beaver?
I'm doing great. How are you?
How did you get the Nixon sandwich, Jerry Mathers?
Yes.
Do you miss Barbara Billingsley?
Metal detectors good at the shore for loose change, right, Steve?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I've used it and found a lot of loose change with my metal.
Make any money on your sandwich?
Yes, I have.
How much?
Well, I've got a secret. Paid me $1,000.
You know, I say to Sean when she's making me my PB&J,
uh-huh.
Another rule, Wonder Bread, and please, no crusts.
No crusts.
I
cuts the crusts off.
I love it when she cuts the crusts off.
If you got a wife that cuts the crusts off, you got a marriage, my friend.
Keep her. Keep her. Sign the prenup and keep her. I've had 7 heart attacks, yet here I am, yeah. Talking right now, broadcasting to you and everybody else. Steve Jenny.
Steve's a good guy.
Good guy.
Hey, thanks, guys.
So tell us about your sandwich. Go!
Well, it's frozen. Been in my freezer for 40, almost 46 years.
How much does it weigh?
Oh, I'd say less than a pound now.
That Paris Bennett sure is a cutie.
She's wonderful. I wish she hadn't gotten voted off.
Like a modern Betty Boop. Tiny little thing with little squeaky voice and then the big gigantic bravado.
And hats off to Howie Mandel, comeback kid.
Deal or no deal? If it's on, I'm watching.
Steve.
Yes.
What do you say?
Deal.
Good go.
Go. We're talking with funny man Steve Jenny.
There you go.
Steve has a 1960 sandwich.
When's the sandwich going to be on display next time, Steve?
Well, I don't know. Probably the next time somebody invites me to fly out somewhere to...
I don't know about you, but I'm thinking now back to the Nixon White House 69, you know, when he was on top of the world.
Sure. Things were going good, and then it all unraveled.
Do you think, Steve, you think he was giving it the path on a regular basis? Because that was before the ED and the pills. You think...
Good question, Steve.
You think Nixon was a softy?
Nixon, good or bad? Go.
Good.
Why?
Like he was good.
Because he practiced a lot.
Was he good?
Later on in life, you could say he got it down fat.
Was he good in bed?
That was a joke. Steve made a joke.
I'm aware.
Yes.
I'm aware of that. It's kind of a funny joke.
Pretty good, Steve. Do you do stand-up, Steve?
Yes.
Do some. Go.
Okay. Standing on the corner the other day, and guy walks up to me. He says, cross down buses run all day, and the guy says, doo-da, doo-da.
Funny.
Funny. Funny stuff. We're joined by...
Steve Jenny.
This is one of the serious moments on Larry King Live.
Sure.
We're talking to a man went crazy. Some people say, why do you end up on top of a McDonald's? Now, granted, you weren't up there threatening anybody. You weren't saying you're going to hurt anybody but yourself. Steve, why would you want to take your own life? Welcome to Larry King Live. We're talking to Steve Jenny. He's on top of a McDonald's restaurant right now. He's threatening to jump. He's on the air live with us. Steve, why are you going to end it all?
No, I'm just tired, you know? I want to see if I can fly.
I agree. Do it.
I like Ambien.
That's good stuff. You like that or Lunesta?
I like Pat Kennedy.
You guys just talked me out of it.
Pat Kennedy's a good guy. Good guy. Good guy. I said to the Capitol Police, I said, let him go. Let him go. Maybe there was something he had to vote on at 3 a.m.
Whoa. Drove into a brick wall. Did you hear about that, Steve?
No.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
What happened?
Tom Cruise had a baby.
Named it after some Arab sheikh.
He named the baby Sushi.
Pretty scary, don't you think, Steve?
Pretty scary, yeah.
Tell us about your sandwich. Go.
It's still frozen.
Anything more?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is it frozen like Walt Disney?
Or Ted Williams. I don't know.
You know, Michael Eisner, probably every day when he had the job, went down to the vault. He went down there and looked at Walt in the freezer. And he said, Walt, I'm going number one on everything you ever stood for. Oh, I hate that bastard. Michael Eisner. Ooh.
You like the Disney, Steve? You like the rides?
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
None of the ones. Probably It's a Small World.
Yeah. I loved him when he had the job. Now I hate him. That's the way I am.
Good. Two-faced, good.
Two-faced, Larry.
We're talking with Steve Jenny. Steve actually makes sandwiches out of buffalo meat for different presidents.
I think I feel a lump.
Oh, no. It might be time for another checkup. You feel feverish at all?
I feel three lumps where there should only be two.
I looked in the mirror this morning when I woke up right after I brushed my teeth, and I had bigger ears. My ears grew overnight.
Your ears grow?
Yeah, my ears grew overnight. Real long. I had a big long hair in one of them.
Steve.
Yeah?
This whole fad of brushing one's teeth, how long do you think is going to last?
Whole fad of what?
Think it goes the way of the hula hoop?
What's
that? This whole thing about cavities and teeth, brushing your teeth.
You think you need to, really? I think it's just a trick.
Well, somebody's making a lot of money off of us.
Exactly.
I tell you,
Brian. Smart guy. Steve Jenny, smart guy.
I'll tell you, Brian, that I can believe in. Goody's headache powders.
Steve or Edie? The gourmets. Which one do you like?
I like Edie, of course.
Edie Gourmet. Beautiful lady.
Do you like Edie, I mean? He was not a nice man. Good interview. Good interview. Like Manuel Noriega. I've interviewed them all.
The pineapple. Whoa.
That's right.
Well, Steve, we're running out of time. Anything you'd like to add?
Well, it's been a pleasure, Larry and Larry.
Well, how about a little plug for your business? Steve's Buffalo.
Actually, we do have a business called Burger Joe's. We got one opening soon in Springfield, Virginia.
Where the hell's that?
Well, look on the map. It's just outside of the D.C. area.
I tell you what, I spent a lot of time in D.C. There's no town named Springfield near D.C.
Not that I'm aware. There's an Illinois.
Yeah. There's the one with the Simpsons, but there's not a Springfield, Virginia, my friend.
Someone's scamming you. Have you been there?
Where's that?
Have you seen the location you're going to?
Yes.
Someone's trying to steal your money.
Anderson Cooper tonight on Anderson Cooper 360. It's the bird flu.
You won't be serving old sandwiches at your burger joint, will you, Steve?
No, no. These are.
I can't eat them anymore. Too high cholesterol.
Right. Not ours.
Do you think Larry Bird will get sick before anybody else?
I sure hope not. Because of the bird flu?
The bird flu.
Bad stuff.
Has he ever been to Alcatraz?
The Birdman of Alcatraz. I just got it.
That's a great movie, incidentally, with Nicolas Cage.
We're on the interview that never ends with Steve Jenny right now. How are you, Steve?
The movie,
I'm still here, guys.
The movie's kind of like Con Air, except it takes place in a prison. It's got Ed Harris. It's great. I gave it 4 stars. I give everything 4 stars.
What's your favorite bird, Steve?
Probably.
We've been talking with Steve Jenny, who's got a sandwich that Dick Nixon ate in 1960.
A unique idea for a business, old sandwiches that people haven't eaten.
Steve, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. You've been very informative, and we thank you.
Thanks, guys. Been fun. Been different.
How long has it been, if you don't mind me asking, final question. Once you had your leg bitten off by the shark, how long was it until you went back into the water again?
Oh, it was the next day.
Attaboy. That's courage.
Sure.
Steve Jenny.
Yeah.
Good guy.
There you go.
So long, Steve.
Thanks for being on.
Thanks, guys. Been fun.
Hold on a moment, please. Yeah. He was a worthy opponent.
He was.
He had a great time.
He was.
He enjoyed it thoroughly.
God damn.
It's not fun when they're like that, Buzz.
I know. I understand.
How do you think it went?
I still had fun.
Yeah. I had a little fun. I like it more when they get mad.
Well, we all had a good time. We hope to call you soon.
I like it when they're confused or mad.
Okay.
Right.
We hope.
But I did enjoy Larry's misinterpretations.
Bye.
Yeah.
Happy. He said it was different.
Oh, F him. Sorry. It's kind of like a competition for me. It really is. It is kind of a competition. And, of course, the triumph will be if they ever hang up. That, to me, is the ultimate triumph. That's when I really like it.
Fine with me. I like it.
I like it when they're confused.
I think everybody listening was confused.
Yeah, doodah. Yeah. Bite me.
Brother.
Bite me in your idiot sandwich. I hope he dies.
Oh,
brother.
Sorry.
Brother Zyga.
Sorry, I didn't care for him.
Two-faced Larry.
I think we ought to put him in the book. That's exactly how I felt.
I will pray for your soul tonight in temple.
Thank you very much.
But I'm also thinking, whatever God it is that I'm serving this week.
The God of Angie Dickinson.
When I thank that God for giving that boy who's not from my loins,
sure,
Sean's boy, to give him the power to throw that football 40 yards in the air. You know, he was the starting quarterback at BYU. Mm-hmm. That's my son through marriage.
Yeah.
My son through
marriage. I actually picked the back of my teeth You know what I smelled?
What?
Formaldehyde.
Oh.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Scary.
It's Larry King Show. Coming up, gay letters.
Which person wrote them? They've all had gay experiences on the Don and Mike Show.
Gay letters from all of the boys you love. Don, Mike, Buzz, Robbie, Joe, Slow Joe, and of course, Yanni.
We're going to have that for you. Until then, we wish Steve Jenny choking on his own buffalo meat.
That was Larry speaking with his own opinion.
Hi.
I thought he was a fine guy.
Yeah, oh, just super.
He was great.
He was a stain. A big, hairy stain. But thanks for coming on the show.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don.
Got four colossal egos, with mine being the smallest. Ryan's got the biggest ego, followed closely by Paula, then Randy, and then myself. Ryan would marry himself tomorrow. I mean, literally, he is the most egotistical person I have ever met in my life. And bearing in mind, I am based in Hollywood. That is quite a broad thing to say. But he has. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I like him. Paula's always had an ego. Randy's developed one. And so you put all that together, shake it all up, you get a few fireworks occasionally.
Thank you. Thank you, Simon.
Your daily mental floss. The Don and Mike Show.
We're just ahead of our gay confession segment.
Literally.
Okay. Let me see. There's a couple of other tapes. All right, what do I got? I got 1, 2, 3 tapes. You know, again, we're going to have to wait till tomorrow to hear about feces in your food from Fox 5. I don't. Well, maybe we can squeeze that into it. Here is Bobby Brown. My man, Bobby Brown. Yeah.
Oh, Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown, just a small, isolated clip of him talking about how Whitney Houston can kick your ass. Bob Brown.
Well, I'm not going to fight it back because, you know, I'm scared. I might go back to jail.
I'm not going to fight her back.
Isn't that nice? He's not going to swing back.
I'm not going to fight her back.
Nice to know that she's swinging at him, though.
Well, I'm not going to fight her back because, you know, I'm scared. I might go back to jail.
Defense.
Where is that from?
And then the other one. Oh, that's from the Tyra Banks Show.
Okay, that's what I thought it sounded like. That.
And the other one I got from SportsCenter. This is going to be an ongoing thing. I'm convinced that Bill Parcells, before the Cowboys break training camp, is going to lose it about T.O.
Mm-hmm.
They had a mini camp, and he answered, I think, about 30 questions about him, and he put the kibosh on it.
Could you elaborate on the issues that T.O. needs to take care of before he gets here?
Nope. I answered 35 questions on him the other day. Someone told me there was 35. So that will be the last on him. Okay? Until we start get on the field at practice in training camp.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Wow. Hey, you know what? I forgot. I completely forgot. When I found out that T.O. was going to Dallas, I didn't even bother to make that connection. This has potential
yes.
to be a great story in the NFL.
Because they were saying the whole thing that I was watching on SportsCenter was, he's worked with stars with problems.
Right.
LT, the greatest linebacker of all time. But how will he get along with Terrell Owens? And then it's part
of he's already mad.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
His hair is back to being yellow again.
Oh, good. Oh, so good. He's doing the orange thing. Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Well, everything else I think can wait.
35 questions. I've answered 35 questions.
We've got about 4 or 5 other Bill Parcells cuts that are pretty good. But, you know, we better just get right to the... get right to the matter at hand.
Well, this is what everybody's been waiting for.
You will pardon the pun. Now, this is where you, the home listener, can win $200 in cash.
That's nice.
There are 6 guys on the show. It's a sausage festival in here. It's me, Don, my best buddy, Mike, my other buddy, Rob, my other buddy, Buzz, my other buddy, John,
right,
and then our three-legged dog, Joe.
Yes.
So there are 6 guys.
Right.
We have all written, and hopefully honestly, about the gayest thing that's ever happened to us in our lives. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Jessica Rabbit from our staff come in and read these.
How embarrassing.
Then after a commercial break or whatever it is that we do, just to, towel off.
She going to read them all at once?
Yep, one at a time.
Okay.
And then what you're going to have to do is, and Jessica will have the scorecard that says whose is what. Hi, Jess.
Hello.
Hi. And thank you for coming out to our We're Number 15 party on Wednesday night.
You're welcome.
It was very nice of you to come out to that party.
It was fun.
And why are you leaving? You quit working. I find it hard to believe you would quit working at this rat hole. But you quit, right?
I did.
You did?
Friday's my last day.
Oh,
I actually got a really good offer back home.
Congratulations.
So you're moving back home.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
So Friday's the last day.
Wow.
Yes.
Friday's the last chance.
Yes.
Hear me, guys?
I hear you.
Last shot on Friday.
At any time, did anyone approach you here? You know, we always like to know people's reasons for leaving. Did anybody approach you and come up to you and say, you know, if you're friends with them, you shouldn't stay here?
No.
Nothing like that occurred?
You weren't run out?
You weren't pressured to leave here because of your association with this show?
Why would I be pressured? I'm the best thing here.
Yes, I know you are.
Yes, you are.
It's very sad that you're going. We don't have many friends here. I don't know if you noticed that. We really don't. there's you, there's Shondell, and I'm out.
Yeah.
Colette.
How about Mr.
Colette? Yes, Colette. Yes.
How about your thing yes. today?
Mm-hmm. What about Mr. Hughes? You know, always undressing you with his eyes. We see it.
Difficult to work under those circumstances, huh?
No.
No. Okay.
Go.
She's. Yeah, we were sort of sliding back down to that, weren't we?
All right. So, Jess, here's the deal. Now, everybody listening, Jessica will read six different statement/stories.
Kind of make a mental note, if you're listening to these, as to, you know...
Might go to.
Each story and what it's about.
And actually, I guess what we're going to probably have to do is... let me see, since we're not playing, since the listeners are playing...
Right.
So I think... let me just real quick. That one's mine. I know that one's Mike's. Which one is yours, Robbie? Is that one yours?
Yes.
Okay. That's Rob's. That one...
It's going to be fun, Jessica.
Oh, that's John's. And there's Joe's. Okay? I've not read them. But we've just put an initial on them. So, for instance, after Jessica reads them, when it's time for callers, you would say, here's the correct order. Number one, Buzz. Number two, Mike. Number three, Joe, etc. Do you get what I'm saying?
No.
Once we read all six letters...
Mm-hmm. You've heard them.
...or stories... Then you call in and you decide. Now, having heard 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the people calling in would say, first person, if the first person gets it, the contest is over.
Okay.
First person says, here's the order. Number one was Don. Number two was Mike.
So there. Right. So the winner of this contest is going to have to guess all of them.
Yes.
Right.
All
in order.
Tough. Meaning
order.
That if the first person is wrong, we're not going to tell them what the order is that they're wrong in.
So they'll have to guess the first one. Is and they if they get answer incorrectly, they're gone.
They're
right.
gone.
Okay, fantastic.
So you get how we're going to play it?
Now I do, yes, yep. Absolutely.
Okay, so now we'll just set it up. We'll just put them in a different order than they were handed in. And we will go to Jessica now, who will read what shall now be known as... Oh, boy. Let me just get a different color pen. Number one. Number two. Mm-hmm.
These are the gay experiences?
Yes, Jessica.
Our gayest
These
experience.
Are all our gayest experiences, and they
share
are...
share them with you.
You're going to be reading each of them.
Number five and number six.
I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
You're nervous.
Jessica. Don't be nervous.
I know that two of them out of the six are beautifully written.
Now, you see how there's a number on top?
Mm-hmm.
Ignore that number. The blue number is the one that you want to focus on. So now...
Read number one and then start reading the story.
But just read number one and then we'll let everybody soak it in.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll move to number two. Now with guest reading number one. And again, this whole thing is...
gay, but not too gay.
This is Gay Experience Number One, read by Jessica.
We have all had... At least I've theorized that most men have had some type of gay experience in their life.
Maybe there's certain men that haven't, but we were all able to deliver on this show.
A brush with gayness.
So I asked all the guys yesterday to please write down your gayest experience, please. And keeping in mind we're on the radio, don't be explicit, but please be honest.
All right.
So now, without further ado, gay revelation number one.
Uh-huh.
Got very wasted one night and was unable to get home, so I had to stay at my friend's house. His roommate was out of town. Me and one of my wasted friends were arguing about who was going to get the roommate's water bed. We decided that it was a big bed and we should share. The heater on the water bed was not working, and at some point in the middle of the night, I woke up freezing my ass off. and found myself cuddling with my friend. I was too full to care, so I just went back to sleep.
Okay, thank you, Jess. Very nice.
That's a wonderful
number
story.
One. That would be number one. Well, you know, we're going to have to go through later and figure out who's who to give us a scorecard. Okay, that was...
All right, I'll keep order of these. That's number one, cuddling. All right? The cuddling story.
Cuddling. And now, here's Jessica with story number two.
My gayest moment happened in high school. It was on an overnight field trip, and I was sharing a motel room with two buddies. Ignoring the curfew, a girl stayed in our room late into the night, and ended up lying in bed with me and my friend. We were all watching TV, and eventually we started to fall asleep. I was in the bed between one of my friends and the girl, and the girl started to give me a helping hand, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
It was a hard proposition to turn down, but it was still very gay because I was lying in bed next to my best friend at the time. And three in a queen size is a little crowded. Plus, another friend was only a few feet away on a sleep sofa. The two guys in the room appeared to remain asleep during the activity, and none of us ever spoke of it. But I know if they were actually awake, and they might have been, it makes this even gayer.
Thank you, Jess. Very nice.
That would be story number two. That would be handy.
Story number two.
All right.
We now continue. Here is story number... And, Mike, can you just recap the stories again? I mean, just give us the brief. Number one
right
was...
Right now? Yeah. All right. Number one was the male cuddling when it was cold in the waterbed. Right. Number two was the guy that was in the bed with the woman and the other guy, and something happened, and he thought the guys were actually awake.
Could you do me a favor. Would you write down the names on these as they come through so I can have, like, a cheat sheet at the end with the correct order of people? Because I don't even know. I got no idea who wrote what. Right. And now, entree number...
Three.
Here again is Jess.
In the summer of 1971, I was at a large family camping week at a Delaware beachside campground. There are hundreds of pop-up campers, those old big vans with giant captain chairs and lots of RVs, not to mention plain old tents. Besides the natural seawater...
You said tents. It sounded like you said something else. Plain old...
I heard tents.
Tents.
Plain old tents. Sounded like that to me, too.
Spell the word that was written.
T-E-N-T-S.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Very good.
Sounded like something else.
Plain old tents.
Besides the natural seawater, there were four gigantic swimming pools. Certain members of my family had discovered a spot in one of the family's RVs where we could hide and watch. If lucky, girls or just even women in the family changing out their bathing suits. Okay. I was in the crawl space in this particular RV with a relative, male, when another relative, female and about 17 at the time, came in and started to disrobe and change. My relative unzipped his pants and started doing something I considered a private matter. While I complained in rushed tones as we were still hiding out watching
rushed
the relative...
What? Rushed what?
Tones. T-O-N-E-S.
Rushed.
Tones.
What was the word before it?
In hushed tones.
Oh, hushed tones. Okay, hushed tones.
Sorry about that.
Not rushed tones.
Ah.
Okay. Hushed tones.
Tent, not.
I complained in hushed tones. Gotcha, okay.
Why don't you just take it from the... Where you picked up, yeah.
While I complain in hushed tones as we were still hiding out watching this relative, he told me in equally hushed tones to join him. I did not, but also did not say anything to either alert my undressing cousin or the relative directly next to me, who had a very happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
I stood, laid on my side, would be the truest perspective, and watched and said nothing. He did ask me if I liked watching and said next time I should join in. It was just fun. I was just waiting for my now close cousin to leave so I could run away as fast as I could. After the female relative left the RV, I made a dash for the screen door. Outside, I was tackled to the ground. My older and bigger relative, who then told me if I ever spoke of this to anyone, he would beat the hell out of me. Surprisingly, years later, he later spoke of it at a family gathering to other males. He made it seem risque and erotic. He also left out how he almost beat the hell out of me for threatening to tell. I thought it was gross and queer, but never said so. Names, if they must be revealed, will be done so after this document is made public.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Quite a story.
All right, that would be number three. My cousin is a jerk. That's how I'm labeling that one.
Now story number
four.
Number four.
The gayest thing that ever happened to me. I was about 12, camping out in the backyard with the neighbor boy. We walked out.
Be nervous. Now take a deep breath. You're getting really nervous now. Please take a big deep breath. Everything's going fine. You're doing great.
Let me start over really
quickly. Okay, start over again.
The gayest thing that's ever happened to me. I was about 12, camping out in the backyard with the neighbor boy. We talked about joining?
Let me see. Hold on. I'll take a look.
I've never, ever seen that before.
J-O-ing.
J-O-ing.
You know.
Join.
Jerk.
I've never heard of it that way. Okay. Nobody saw anything or touched anything that wasn't theirs, but we both did what we were talking about in the same tent at the same time.
Very nice.
Thank you.
All right.
That was number four.
That is just kidding.
Number four. Oh, we have to identify that one?
Sure.
Now here's Jessica with...
That's the friend J-O-ing. That's what number four is.
Mike, can you just recap all the four that we've heard?
Number one would be the story of a man-on-man cuddling in the waterbed.
Right.
Number two would be the person in bed with a woman and a man, and she gets handsy, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
Number three would be the bathhouse experience of hiding under the crawl space. My cousin is a jerk. And that's pretty heavy duty.
Mm-hmm.
Number four is the friend J-O-ing. I didn't really get much out of that incredibly written piece. So but I got a theory on that one.
We are up to number five.
Right.
Number five.
When I was young, sometime between 10 and 12, we used to play a lot of role-playing games in my friends' houses. We would build an imaginary headquarters or a fort in the basement and then create different adventures. One time in my own basement, a slightly older neighbor boy and I had constructed a fort by taking blankets and sheets from my mom's laundry room and hanging them off an old utility table. The fort was completely blocked in on three sides with blankets in the back wall of the unfurnished basement, which the table was pushed up against.
Yeah, yeah.
It was totally private. As we were talking in our fort, the subject or our things came up. The neighbor boy asked me if I had a fire hose like he had, or did I have the other kind? Okay. And I did.
Yes.
And I did not. Wait, where did I leave off?
Fire hose like his. If I had a fire hose like his.
Or did I have the other kind? I didn't know what he meant until we decided to show each other what we had. When we both revealed our weapons, I realized that he did indeed have a fire hose, and I did not. He then told me in great detail how he achieved a wonderful sensation by using friction on a blanket. I asked him to show me, and just as he was showing me what he did, my mom called us from upstairs, and the lesson was over. Later that night, I experimented with the blanket trick and eventually got a very surprising playoff. I credit my slightly older...
Payoff, I bet.
Did I say playoff?
Playoff, yeah, that's okay.
Payoff. I credit my slightly older neighbor with the teaching me how to do something that I would use for years to come, so to speak.
Wow. All right, that's number five.
Number five. To recap, Mike, all five thus far?
The number one was cuddling with the friend in the waterbed, the male friend. Number two was the woman with getting handsy with two men in a bed. Number three was my cousin is a jerk. In the bathhouse looking at the cousin. Number four is the friend J-O-ing. And number five is, showing the fire hose.
And finally, story number six.
I think the gayest thing I ever did was something I remember from when we were kids. A few friends and I, when we were about 9 or 10 years old, decided to play strip poker. Since we were in the fourth grade or something like that, it didn't occur to us that you were supposed to play with girls, and quite honestly, I don't think any of us knew what a winning hand was. Anyway, eventually one of us would lose and end up naked. One time, since streaking was the thing to do in America, we all took off our clothes and ran around my friend's house like we were streakers. Pretty stupid and pretty gay.
Thank you, Jess.
All right, thank
Excellent
you.
Excellent job.
Good job.
Thank you, thank you very much. Now,
it'll be strip poker and streaking.
Okay, so let me just see. I've got all of these stories. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you. I know you're very nervous. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice job.
Thank you. Great. Thank
We're
you,
not going to talk about you. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's going to be fine.
Okay, now let me just make sure I've got the correct order. Number one. Okay.
She obviously went to the Ardinger Academy, though. I'm reading.
Two.
Well, it was perhaps the material. Make anybody nervous.
Number four. Number five. Okay, well.
Mm-hmm. All right, I have.
We are lined up. I mean, I've got the answers in front of me, folks.
I have number one, cuddling. Number two, the handy. Number three, my cousin is a jerk. Number four, friend J-O-ing. Mm-hmm. Number five, showing the fire hose. And number six, strip poker and streaking.
Right. So, we will take a break and come back and start taking calls at 877-365-3636. For instance, not that I'm throwing anything out there, if you called up and said, for instance, okay, number one is Buzz.
Right.
If you're correct, you're going to hear this. And you can move along. Then if you say, number two is Don.
Ah.
Not true.
Okay.
We'll go to the next caller, who then has to start by saying, number one is Buzz. Number two is Mike.
Right, for example.
Number three is Rob. Oh, so you see how it goes? If you got all six in order, call right now.
Winner.
I think it's very apparent who wrote who.
I think so, too.
And what wrote what.
I have all but a couple
whatever
figured
I'm
out.
I'm trying to say here who wrote what. And I agree with you, Mike. I think that some of the beautiful literary work was kind of ruined.
It was destroyed.
But she was very nervous. We can't get mad at sweet Jessica Rabbit.
Of course not. It was our idea to bring her in here.
She's nervous. She's reading our erotic confessions.
I think, you know, under the circumstances, a fine job.
Yeah.
Really, a tall order. A tremendously tall order.
There were a lot of words for her to... And whose fault is it? Intense sounds like... like boob.
Don't blame Jessica. Don't blame Jessica. Blame our system.
When we come back, somebody wins $200, okay?
Yeah.
If you get all six in order, we'll be
God
right
damn
back.
Teacher.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
That's the right order. Let's see who got it right. And in the fastest time, Ted Patchell. Ted, how are you? He's a fag.
Patchell, congratulations. We had five people from New Jersey in the fastest finger, and you're one of them from Somerdale, New Jersey. What do you do?
I'm a computer catalog salesperson. I take orders over the phone.
What did you do last night, Ted?
Actually, I stayed in and watched ABC.
All right. Your partner, Thomas, is up there. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Hi, Regis.
Nice to see you. What would you do if you won the $1 million?
Pay off all the bills and splurge and go get a dozen pairs of shoes at once.
All right, fine. All right, good. Mike
Show. I'm too sexy for my love.
He's a fag.
My love. Equally attractive to both sexes. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
He's a fag. Homo.
Okay, well, we got the winning order right here. With the gay taxi cab confessions. And let's get to the phones. No need to give out the phone number.
Right.
Because they've kind of been going...
People kind of went crazy over this.
Again, if you get all six in order, you're the first person. Congrats. Mm-hmm. You're going to get $200 in cash.
Is that when the Inquisition starts?
It's entirely possible that someone will get it. Either way...
No, I'm just wondering about the Inquisition, about all the stories that have been written.
Either way, if not on today's show, because we do want to get to Buzz's news.
Right.
If we don't have time today, we probably won't. I'll hold on to these, and you want to be listening to the first segment tomorrow. We'll keep the American Idol stuff in our pants.
Very good.
If you pardon the pun. Because there are stories that must be answered about these stories.
Yeah.
I mean, there are questions rather than must be answered about these. What did I say? There are stories that must be answered about these questions.
Exactly. More questions than
you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, in other words, there's probably more detail required.
Correctamundo. And let's just start right here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, very well. What's your name? Any idea?
Yeah, it's Sue.
Sue, where are you from?
Sacramento.
All right, Sue, good for you. We've got $200 in cash. Did you hear all six gay revelations?
Yeah, I sure did.
Okay, well then.
You think you know whose stories is who?
Oh, man, it's a coin toss. They
gay,
all
gay, but not too gay.
Guys.
Well, Sue, you're going to be the guinea pig to start everybody off.
Great.
Let's see if, because remember, you have to get them all in order, and like we used to say, you know, every guess is a clue for you. So, who wrote story number one?
And Mike, the cuddling story.
The cuddling story.
I think that was Mike.
Was it Mike?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, sorry, Sue. Hello, Don and Mike show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Mike. How are you?
Mike, we're great. Where are you from?
Reno.
Okay, we know that number one is not Mike. The first story, Mike, about cuddling.
Cuddling, man on man, cuddling in a waterbed.
Who wrote it?
I'm saying Joe.
Joe Ardinger?
No.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Get out of here.
See, if you're a real early bird, you're at a disadvantage here.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. This is Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. Where are you from?
I'm from Citrus Heights, California.
All right. That's a big sack. Sacramento. Okay. Number one, man on man cuddling. Who wrote that?
I'm going to say that was John.
Yanni Norman.
Ah, very good.
That's right. Got very wasted one night, unable to get home. I had to stay at my friend's house. My roommate was out of town. We and my friends arguing about who was going to get the roommate's waterbed. We'll discuss that tomorrow. Yes, you're correct. Number one is Yanni.
John Norman. Story number two guys and a handsy woman.
That sounds like Dawn.
Oh!
Sorry about that.
There you go.
Very important that all our contestants pay attention to the order, too.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there. Hello.
Hello.
Cello. Name, please.
Scott.
Location, please.
Delaware.
Number one. Who wrote number one?
John.
Right. Who wrote number two, Mike, and the synopsis of number two?
Two men in a bed with a handsy woman.
Rob.
Rob Spiewak?
Correct.
Correct. Number three, Mike, the synopsis of number three.
My cousin is a jerk.
Don.
I'd be glad to elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have time. Mike, number four.
Number four is the story about a friend J-O-ing.
Joe.
There you go.
You are out of there.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, this is Billy.
Hi, Billy. Where are you from?
Iowa City, Iowa.
Billy.
Hello, Billy.
Billy. All right, Billy. Let's go. Give me number one, please.
John.
Number two.
Rob.
Number three.
Don.
And Mike, the topic of number four is?
The friend J-O-ing.
Buzz.
Oh, wow. All right, you're on a roll.
Number five, Mike, the synopsis of number five.
Showing the old fire hose.
Let's go with Joe.
So close, but yet so far.
It's pretty simple now.
Yes, it is.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
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 Who's this, please?
This is Chris.
Chris, where are you from?
Alexandria.
All right, D.C., close enough. Let's see, give them to me in order. Number one.
John.
Number two.
Oh, shoot. Rob.
Number three.
Don.
Number four.
Buzz.
Number five.
Mike.
Number six.
Joe.
Congratulations!
You're the big winner! There you go. That's how you play the game.
Man, am I surprised.
That's how you play the game.
I am surprised.
Chris?
Yeah, I had Buzz as Don.
No, that office happens. That office happens.
That's a different story.
Chris, you're listening on WJFK. Thank you for that. And Chris, there is $200 American dollars for you. Thank you for playing, my friend.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Helped a lot.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
You know us so well.
Enjoy your cash.
Wow.
Well, I think really...
So many questions.
I think really we should save this stack of papers until tomorrow. Because if we start diving into this now...
But there just isn't time.
I mean, God. So let me see. Just to verify, John's story was about getting...
Cuddling in a waterbed with another guy.
Right. With a boy.
No heat.
Okay. Rob's story was in high school in a room with a guy and a chick.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's just blowing me out of the
water. Rob was in the bed in between, and the girl started to give him a helping hand. But it was gay because his friend was in bed next to him.
And you were pretty sure your friend was awake?
We never discussed it.
Okay.
Sure. Never
discussed it. All of these stories, we never spoke of this again.
And then me, well, that was my cousin Ronnie at the Treasure Beach Campground in Bethany, Delaware.
Ronnie just couldn't contain himself, huh?
And we were watching my cousin Cindy.
And how much older was Ronnie than you?
5 years.
5 years, wow.
And
how old were you?
71, so I was
13.
Well, I'd be glad to tell you more about that later. Number four was Buzz in the backyard with the neighborhood boy. Now, you know, for the guy who's got really, seriously, the stinkiest thing of all of us, I mean, this is like the most choir boy, really nothing gay about this. According to Buzz's, he's in a tent with a guy.
He's never been honest about these things.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. Number five is Mike.
Front with potential.
Number five is Mike about the
showing the
different
fire hose.
The different shapes and sizes.
Yeah, it's the same kid that ate a BLT at my house one time and spit it out in front of my mom. My mom threw him out of the house.
Oh. And then number six is Joe.
Strip the one about poker and streaking.
Strip poker with streaking. So, you know, I tell you what, we can take, what do we got before we go to news? If we stay on time, we've got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. We will entertain a few phone calls, if you'd like, to quiz us about our gay experiences, and then we'll let it go until tomorrow, because really, there are questions, and like, I know we probably
don't
all...
Don't you think with the proper inquisition, the real truth will come out?
We'd love to elaborate. I mean, there are details. I don't know how much, for instance, in my story, I don't know how much... Really, I can say on the radio,
right.
But I can certainly describe to you what it was like to crawl inside this camper and hide in a very limited ventilation area to watch my cousin Cindy take her clothes off.
I would imagine, I would imagine you were pretty well freaked out. I remember that must have been terrifying because you didn't want to get revealed, right? But otherwise, you would have been gone.
I mean, it could
or
really...
maybe you wanted to stay.
Exactly, Professor. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'm ready to play.
You're ready to play? Well, we just
play
got
what?
A winner.
Play what? You can analyze now. You can give us the post-game analysis if you like.
You're all gay.
Very good.
That's correct.
Wonderful. Nice effort.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. Well, you know, maybe people don't want to pepper us with questions.
I think people want to win. They
Hello.
Want to win, win, win.
That's right. We already have a winner. Hello.
Hello, buddy.
Hi there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Donnie, was your cousin helping himself watching his own sister?
No, he was watching a girl who was also his cousin. I mean...
Oh, okay.
But still...
That'd have been more than gay.
No. She was hot.
Technically, no.
She wasn't that hot, though. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
How are you guys?
Hi, we're doing great, thank
Hello.
You. Hello.
I was confused by Buzz's story. It sounded like both of them were getting to business, but separately.
All right,
that's right. Separate but equal.
But you were in the same tent? Could you see each other?
No. And I said that in the story. There were, you know, sleeping bags or blankets or whatever that concealed.
So neither one of you knew that you were doing it?
Well, I think we knew that, yeah, we were each doing it.
Would you just hear the rustling sound?
Yeah, but that's pretty much it, yeah.
You think he's lying? I do.
I think he's got more.
So do I.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Todd of my show.
I think we know one that he's got more.
Hey, Don, I was wondering if your Aunt Lolo was by any chance one of the women you were watching.
No, ass. It was my cousin Cindy.
Such a big family.
My hot cousin Cindy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Goodbye.
Oh, she wanted to win.
Okay. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
I think that's the gayest thing I've ever done, was listening to those stories.
Congratulations, sir. Welcome. Welcome to our fold.
That's good.
Okay. Let's go to Buzz now. That's a good
Buzz.
We'll give Buzz two nice big segments tonight. Because God knows he's got some issues.
Buzz,
I don't believe your stories.
Don't you think we need some serious inquisition for everybody tomorrow?
Yeah. Tomorrow, be listening to the first break.
This is only the tip of the iceberg, so to speak.
Right. The tip. The big, angry tip of the iceberg.
I really want more detail from everybody. Including myself. I've heard quite enough.
I'm curious about my friend Rob.
I am too.
That's
because
shocking,
we,
really.
We never think of Rob that way.
The asexual Rob.
We never think. And you were receiving the
really
good for you, Rob.
Way to go.
Oh, boy. Good for you, Rob.
Good news to his people.
It's time for news here with Buzz.
You understand the complication.
Sort of, yeah.
And, well. And this was before, like, date rape drugs and stuff. She was there of her own free...
See, now you're putting words in my
mouth. Okay. I'm just trying to picture, like, the teenage you, which I'm guessing looks kind of like you
identical.
Now.
I like this story.
I did. Yeah. I think that's okay.
Good story.
And I think tomorrow, once we pick that buzz lock, it'll be A-OK.
Buzz?
Yes.
What are your stories on news and comments tonight?
Tonight, Howard Stern returns, just not to hear... HBO launches wacky Iraqi sitcom and assault with a sexy weapon.
Oh, you said that in your non-gay voice.
Okay, Buzz, thank you.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
You're welcome.
That's right, Don.
I don't know what we're doing in this treehouse, Billy. What's that rustling? I want to be a broadcaster. Hi.
I'm going to tell you where to put your hand right now.
That was very...
professional.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Right.
Your destination for disappointment.
Hi.
The Don and Mike Show.
Sponsor tonight?
Yes, right.
I have a Buzz News and Comments tonight brought to you by the Visa Business Card. Business takes efficiency. Whether you pay by debit or credit, Visa Business helps you get things done. Your business is your life. Your business is your life.
Right.
Life takes Visa. And now, here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Howard Stern says he's been offered a major deal to air a censored version of his satellite show on traditional radio stations. They just won't be the same stations he was on before he left CBS to go with Sirius Satellite Radio. Other satellite shows can now also be heard on free radio, and Howard needs to do the same to compete. He may also miss the 90% of his listeners who didn't follow him to pay radio. So he's talking to the company that's buying ABC Radio.
And the whole station tanked. So I guess it is important who's on in the morning. We kind of feed the rest of the day, you know?
Mm.
The only consolation for WJFK in Washington, which is owned by CBS Radio, was it wasn't worse. WJFK fell from fifth with Stern to ninth with the junkies among 25 to 54-year-olds. JFK had to reshuffle its lineup. By reshuffling everything, all those moving pieces apparently hurt the Don and Mike Show, whose audience share among adults 25 to 54 slipped 27%. Well, they must be pissed.
Well,
they're great.
You're right about that.
Howard says he relishes the chance to beat CBS in the ratings, especially since CBS is suing him in an obvious case of sour grapes.
You know,
you could write the script, couldn't you?
I don't even have a comment.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I don't even have a comment,
mm-hmm.
except I'll say the same thing to both of them. I mean, why lie about it now? Either one of you, buy us out. Howard, you got the money. Buy us out.
Mm-hmm.
XM, you're right here in our backyard.
Right.
Buy us out. I mean, eventually, CBS is going to end up buying you anyway.
Right.
Both of you.
Right.
Slob it all together like Elvis's food in a plate on his belly.
Like peas and mashed potatoes.
Would you have predicted this? I would not have predicted this 3 months ago.
Radio's changed.
I would not have predicted this.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that it would have happened this quick. That so many things would have happened this quickly.
The thing about satellite radio is, and a lot of people misunderstand, like what I call the cable radio.
Mm-hmm.
They think I'm putting it down. No, I like satellite radio. I subscribe to XM.
Right.
As a matter of fact, my dream job, away from working with all you guys, would be like running their 70s channel.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's why I like XM.
Right.
I like, they play the bad music I like, the bad
mm-hmm.
jingles I like.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an acquired taste. I think really that for one show, whether it's Howard or ONA or us or whoever it is, to ask somebody to pay $13 or $15 a month
mm-hmm. right.
after buying a unit,
right.
and you know, really, I mean, when you're paying $3 a gallon for gas,
mm-hmm.
you really got to think, do I want to pay
sure.
$13 a month to hear a DJ.
Well, when you call it cable, you're talking about the way cable used to be, too.
And
you always said, what, 10 years?
Yeah.
I mean, you've always said that.
I truly believe that eventually satellite radio will be on a par with regular radio. It's just right now, there's so many nerds out there that want to say, it's the death of terrestrial radio, and they totally misunderstand me. We get emails all the time like, how can you talk about cable radio? It's about... No, I love it. I could work there in a heartbeat with Mike. We could say the F word as much as we wanted and not like to say, boy, I'd love to F that girl, but we could talk the way we talk in real life.
Right.
You know what I mean? God, that guy's an effing jerk. I mean, that to me would be some freedom.
Right.
To hear some real language the way we really talk.
Right.
Eventually, I bet before we leave, we get to morph on like all these other guys are doing.
Sure, I would think so.
And the radio business, the people in terrestrial radio, regular radio, should stop flipping out about satellite.
Right. Yeah, stop flipping out.
I mean, it's there just like when regular TV was assaulted by cable TV, regular TV didn't say, oh my God.
What are you going to do?
We're going to roll over and die.
And regular TV is still alive and well.
Your favorite shows are still on broadcast channels.
So I guess my point is I'm a fan of terrestrial radio. Of course, I love it. But I'm a fan of satellite radio as well. I just don't think that satellite radio is quite ready for everybody yet. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Howard make the move partway back because the truth of the matter is, like it or not, as bad as the FCC has made radio, you can still hear more people through these microphones than you can through satellite radio.
Right.
It's true. It's just a fact.
It's a reality.
I'm not putting the industry down as satellite radio.
No.
You heard me just say, I'd love to work there.
Right.
My dream job would be for Mike and I to do our show there, and then I get done and run that crappy 70s channel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I'd die for that.
Right. I mean, it would be fun for you.
Not literally, but I mean, I'd love it. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm surprised, on one hand, that Howard's going to do it because it kind of makes him look like a copycat.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I'm not surprised because you know the guy behind it, it's at the other company, it's that guy Fareed.
Fareed,
yep.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and the thing about these radio guys is that they're all sea-sucking backstabbers. I mean, this guy Fareed, from what I know, he had been in bed, at least when we were working in New York, he was in bed with Opie and Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that guy used to work for the company.
Right.
And whatever power struggle was going on at the time, which we ended up losing for whatever reason, one of the reasons we lost up in New York was that this guy Fareed was totally in Opie and Anthony's camp. Okay? Well, now he's trying to hide Howard away to put Howard on the ABC radio station to combat CBS, which is hired back Opie and Anthony. It's like, you know,
it's insane, and what they're all doing is reacting to each other.
Yeah. Right. The people who used to be your enemies end up being your friends. The people who were your friends end up being your enemies. And now we're finding out, really, that, okay, you can't really make it on satellite radio alone.
Right.
You got to have help with regular radio. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
The way it is. I don't begrudge people that do what we do, and certainly not, you know, Howard, who's done what he's done. But it's a little odd to hear, you know, Opie and Anthony and Howard when they're talking about, you know, for months and months and months, about how we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And then, you know, in a relatively short period of time, everybody's coming back to do, you know, the kind of radio within the same restrictions.
Right.
And so it's just a little strange to
surprising.
Me.
I'm not saying this because we like Mel, and I think Mike and I have made no bones about that. If we had a choice, really, you know, we would go work on Howard's channel.
It was a different operation here when Mel was here. I mean, there's no doubt about
and
that.
And that's part of the reason that we've got a boner for Sirius as opposed to XM.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is, no matter who you are, if you're Howard Stern, who is the best known, in my opinion, best known disc jockey in America, the day he left CBS was the day that he said goodbye to 10 million listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
He's got to miss him.
I was not a Howard Stern listener, okay? I didn't listen to his show in the morning.
Not regular.
But if I would get up in the morning, I'd turn it on and go, all right, I'd have my coffee or whatever, I'd hear what he was saying.
Flip mine.
It's like now, anything he says, and no offense, you know, not that I care, a very small percentage of people are hearing about it.
Very small.
He would say something, it would get written about in the newspaper. I think he's realizing that now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know. Mm. And blah blah and la la
la la la.
Bring him back and bring the other guys back. And
yeah, the bottom line is, no matter what the disc jockeys are doing, you got the suits, the corporate guys that are responding and reacting, and not innovating. And that has been the case for quite some time.
Amen to that.
And really, you know, it's been so aptly demonstrated that when Howard left, that it was reactionary. And
why do you think they're doing the whole? I mean,
the whole free FM thing,
right? And now, as we mentioned the other day, with ONA on some free FM stations, mm-hmm. they're promoting XM,
right?
On free FM.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Very
again,
confusing.
I'm not busting Opie and Anthony's balls. No. I do the same thing.
I would do the exact same thing that they did. You cannot begrudge
the people
for doing
that. The people that run this company are idiots. The people that run the other company are idiots. The people that run XM are idiots. The people that run Sirius are idiots. Well, everybody except one at Sirius are idiots.
Right.
You know, just come on, fellas. Just figure this out.
Yeah, please, everybody figure this thing out.
Just figure out the lineup.
The dust hasn't settled yet.
Just figure out who's going to be where so that me and Mike can find out if there's a place for us in this game. See, what I'm worried about is we are playing musical chairs,
uh-huh.
and what's going to happen at the very end is everybody's going to have a seat except my big fat ass and your big fat ass.
Well, it's tough because you want to know where you want to land.
Right.
You want to know when the dust settles, what's going to happen.
Hasn't settled yet. Not a player in any of this is the big radio company Clear Channel. Clear Channel has just hired Whoopi Goldberg to host a morning show.
Oh, now listen. Here's another reason that radio's so effed up. Oh, hi, Whoopi. Didn't they learn at all from the David Lee Roth experience?
No.
That you cannot put, from what I understand, she is going to play some records. So it's not a total records. Talk show.
Right. And it's directed at women.
For chicks.
Right.
But still, she is awful in the Slim Fast ads. You can't put a microphone in front of her for 4 hours a day.
It is a different type of entertainment. That's what these guys that wear ties and business suits don't realize.
Listen,
that this, what we do, is a totally different thing. It is 4 hours
right.
where we're sitting here, and he could sit there and talk for 4.5 hours.
I know.
Then I could talk for 3.5.
I know.
It's amazing. They don't get it.
But they easily say that there's no way that we could do the job that the actors do.
Right.
But they say there's no reason that the actors can't do what the disc jockeys do.
Here's the difference.
The problem is we're ugly and they're beautiful, but they get scripts where people write their words for
exactly.
them, and we have to think of the words ourselves.
Whether it's a commercial, whether it's the Hollywood Squares, whether it's a Broadway show, it is pre-done, it is rehearsed, and it is written down, and then it's delivered.
Right.
That's not what live radio in the morning is.
Not at all.
And there are people that are great at it, and there are people that, you know, have no experience doing it, and it's just the same thing if we try to, you know, be in Sister Act 5.
And this company in particular should stop the knee-jerk reaction to satellite. Not because I hate satellite. How many times I got to say, I'm a subscriber. I've got 5 XM radios. I pay about $60 a month. So there's my disclaimer on that. The people that we work for are idiots. You should be the eagle, and satellite radio right now should be the fly.
Right.
You should not be getting on the air every day, bending over with the ads that we run, which are just ridiculous. Like, no subscription required. You're listening to Free FM. Please, kiss my ass. Is it Free FM when we have to play 20 minutes of commercials an hour? Of course it's not. So why lie to people? You know? And why all of the under the table, no subscription required? I mean, that goes over some people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
And look what they've just done.
Yeah.
I mean, and you've just basically gone into a merger with XM.
Right. Very confusing.
What are you going to think? You know what they're doing? They're reacting. They're reacting, reacting, reacting. Nothing, seriously, nothing is more than, I'm going to say, 2 weeks ahead on
right.
these guys. They don't think that far down
the
road.
Foresight.
And maybe 2 weeks is a stretch, too.
maybe 2 hours.
One.
2 days. I'd give
yeah,
them two days
probably.
2 days at the most for making a decision that they think is the right decision. Right now, it's like this. It's like you lick your finger and go, which way is the wind blowing? Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what's hot right now? Ooh, reality. Sign Whoopi Goldberg. Hold on. Satellite's great. No, it sucks. Satellite sucks. Free FM. Free FM. Okay, we better hire a guy from satellite radio. Let's hire the guy from satellite radio. Free FM! Satellite radio. Don't talk about it. No subscription required. Whoopi Goldberg. David Lee Roth. Penn Teller.
Kaboom.
I mean, Jesus. Oh. And just for me, personally,
yeah.
that the thing about it all that's a pisser is that Penn Teller, mm-hmm. is my joke name for him.
Right.
Penn Jillette.
Right.
Just IMHO.
Uh-huh.
He's one funny MF-er.
I like him.
And he could carry a 4-hour show I could listen to Penn Jillette. I don't care how much he talks about how he doesn't believe in God,
mm-hmm.
or he loves card tricks or juggling.
Right.
Somebody with a brain, sit in with Penn and say to him, Penn, you are brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is how radio is done. People listen for a small period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, reset what you're doing. And also remember, not everybody knows everything about juggling. Not everybody knows who all these people are that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you just got a radio guy, and I'm not talking about being on the air with Penn.
Right, you're talking about a guy behind the scenes, a producer type guy,
coach,
that could organize the whole show.
Right. He's funny as, I mean, this company's looking for the next Howard Stern.
Right.
They might have him. Penn Jillette might be him.
In the right situation.
Right. Not that Penn would want to give up his regular job in Vegas.
No, he probably couldn't do that.
He
shouldn't.
But I listen to his show now, and I'm a fan. And
mm-hmm,
and also, not that I'm close friends with him, but he's a very nice guy. He's been very nice to us. He's very sweet to me after Frieda passed away.
Right.
Feel kind of a loyalty to the guy. I think he's funny as hell. They asked me about his show, like my opinion matters, whatever it was, 6 months ago. I said, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But then I go back. I said,
yeah, that was actually the only thing we were excited about here.
Right? Has anybody gone to Penn to say, you know, hey dude, you're fantastic, but,
right,
you know, no, and that's what I mean. They don't think.
No, it's like they go, that would be thinking.
Go, oh, Penn Jillette. Oh, he's on that show, Bullis. Yeah, hire him. Put him on for an hour.
1 hour.
1 hour. And then, like, what's he doing? Who cares? Mm-hmm. Free FM. And then put the guy from MSNBC on for an hour. And then put the guy on from CNBC on for an hour. And that's your lineup?
Yeah, and not thought going into it. It's a different medium. And that's what they don't understand.
So
it's crazy.
We got a break. I'm sorry, Buzz, we monopolized the time.
That's quite all right.
That's what we're...
It's a good discussion.
That's what we're here for. And again, our shingle is out, and we are frankly open to the highest bidder.
As always.
The company has pretty much said to us, here's what CBS has said to us. You guys are great. You're not going anywhere because you have a guaranteed contract.
Mm-hmm.
However, you get your friend Big Daddy Mel to pay off your contract.
Right.
Mwah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've said that in not so many words.
So here we sit, and it's frustrating and it's maddening. But now the worlds
are starting to merge.
Yes.
Right in front of us.
Yeah, very, very interesting time. It's a very interesting time.
Anything could happen.
But it's still an insane time here.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. I've never ever seen it. I've never seen it at the smallest radio stations I've ever worked for.
Everybody
I've
here,
never really seen it like this.
It is chicken with head cut off speed today, isn't it?
It's phenomenal.
Not just today, but in general around
here. These days.
Yes. It really is. And what it is you have a lot of radio people that bolted and went to satellite, and now the guys are wanting them back.
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's really, really insane.
Well, you know, who's been here all along?
Right.
Hi, I'm Turd.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Here's my friend Turd.
Exactly.
How you doing? Hi, we're the two turds.
The workhorses.
We're the two turds that never went anywhere. We're still here. Hey, Buzz, what's next?
Well, you certainly can't turn to radio to hear the latest hip-hop music. No, for that, you have to go to a strip club. That's our story when we continue.
Thank you.
Good.
Be right back.
Like that.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about this show.
It's
huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show. They'll suck the power out of ye. Don and Mike.
Right, right. Well, two asses with diarrhea of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Really were lecturing about radio there for a moment.
I enjoyed that.
Felt good. I don't know who those guys were. I bet they've had gay experiences, though.
But not too gay.
There's more news now with Buzz.
With executives.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. So where can you go to hear the latest hip-hop music these days in the South?
95 Double Nickel.
No.
Yo, yo, yo.
No, even they're playing it safe.
WPGC, baby, yo, yo, yo.
No, Don. The
Kick
answer,
it.
The answer is strip clubs.
Disorderlies.
Rated PG.
WPGC. WPGC.
95 Double Nickel.
Right on! Here's why that makes sense. For one thing, the sound system can handle the bass. For another, it's a good beat for the dancers. And for another, it's part of the culture. Quoting the promotion executive for Interscope Records, we work lifestyle venues like barbershops, beauty shops, skating rinks, bowling alleys, anything with a culture to it. And strip clubs fall into that category.
Once again, a black man.
And he can get new music played in clubs that radio won't take a chance on. Competition being what it is, radio doesn't take chances.
How's that work?
Virgin's urban music executive says, and I quote, strip clubs have become the main breaking place for records, especially in the South.
And the program director was just listening to your show, and he asked me to give you this.
Wow. Hold on, wait a second. You're telling me that now instead of, like, doing their stupid research where they call people, they go on, like, to teat bars.
Record companies are going to strip clubs and testing, having the DJ test their new music, and they see how often the DJ plays the song and what the crowd reaction is to it, and they gauge their releases accordingly.
From guys who are there looking at rare roast beef, putting crumpled up dollar bills in old girls' varicose veins legs.
Yeah, but it's not the guys, it's the strippers that pick the music, isn't it?
I don't know how that works.
Or
is it the DJ at the club?
I think that the most strip joints that I've been in, the stripper picks the music.
So the record company...
I always thought that, you know, don't you remember when we'd go down to that place down where Mayor Barry used to go?
Oh, the Camelot.
And they go, hey guys, let's bring up... And she'd come up and dance for two songs.
Yeah,
and she'd pick the two songs she wanted.
But aren't all the songs really Girls, Girls, Girls?
Yeah.
By Motley Crue, isn't that really?
Or AC/DC.
Right? All Night Long.
All Night Long.
Yeah. That's it.
There you go. Well, maybe they're buying lunch for the girls. I don't know, these record executives, to get the girls to choose these records. But at any rate, that's how they're testing new music now, is in strip clubs, according to guys at the record company.
They're probably just saying that for their wives.
Okay.
They're probably just, you know, honey.
Oh, that's boy, I got some calls to make today.
I got to go to the Gold Club again. I'm sorry, you know, I've got...
it's my job.
I've got a new Kanye West record. Honey, listen, I won't be home. I'm going to be down at Good Guys. There's a new Mary J. Blige record. I really want to see how the audience reacts to it.
Really, it's Wednesday. I'll see you Monday. Sorry.
HBO's backing a new sitcom set in war-torn Iraq.
That's a funny idea, Buzz.
Hotel Palestine is a half-hour series about a group of reporters living in a bombed-out hotel in Baghdad. No word on when it might air. HBO won't comment, but it is already being developed by a writer for the Ali G movie.
This is the problem with this.
What?
That we had MASH, which is about the Korean War.
Right.
And we've had...
Long,
like,
after the Korean War.
Hogan's Heroes about WW2.
After World War II.
Right. We're still fighting this war.
Right.
Right now, our guys and gals are over there dying.
Uh-huh.
So now we're going to make a sitcom about it. I mean, even if it's an HBO sitcom.
It's HBO. McHale's Navy.
Oh, thank you, Rob. McHale's Navy.
After World War II.
For the Korean clan.
Don, it's not TV. It's HBO. In sports, Larry Trujillo likes to go to the ballpark and watch the Albuquerque Isotopes. He catches about 20 games a year. Last year, he caught a break and won a Nissan Xterra in a random drawing there. It was in the parking lot Friday night when Larry won the random drawing for the second year in a row. Now he also has a copper-colored Ford Escape.
Copper-colored.
Quoting Larry, I'm the number one fan out there right now. Mm-hmm. And the Iranian government's come up with an interesting new rule for its athletes. No sissy boys. Effective immediately, any athlete with, quote, an effeminate look...
He's a fag.
...will be banned from competition. And we'll wrap this up when we come back.
Well, all right, thank you, Buzz. Be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Legendary Canadian troubadours, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I got a line on you. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don.
Hi there. Hi, hi, hi.
Hey, also in the news today, a town in China with a 98% divorce rate. Most of the divorces have come recently in this village of just 4,000 people.
Welcome to Spivak City.
Thank you.
One observer says...
I appreciate you sparing me on that one. It's a very nice gesture.
Because I
truly appreciate
that. Didn't want you leaving mad on a Tuesday.
Yeah, but that city is in O'Mara Province.
One observer says everybody in the town just seemed to suddenly fall out of love. Many of the couples have children. Some had newborn babies. Some couples had been together 30 years. Others had just gotten married. The oldest was in his 90s, barely able to move. And it's not a sad or depressing place. The people in line at City Hall to get unhitched were happy and laughing. They thought they'd found a government loophole allowing them to get a new apartment. Many plan to get remarried later, but in some cases, one spouse or the other met somebody new, so not everybody's happy. Quoting one man, basically, it's the government that forced us into this mess.
Where's my walk?
And finally, in a Norwegian town I won't even try to pronounce, a 37-year-old man's been arrested for beating his 28-year-old ex-girlfriend into a concussion. She also has several cuts, a couple of broken fingers. But
he says
she may have had those injuries beforehand because of her anorexia. On the other hand, the walloping continued for 15 minutes, for which he says he's sorry. Anyway.
Are you sorry, Rob?
Yeah, we'll talk.
Anyway, it must have been some dildo, because that's all the man says he used. I'm Buzz Burbank on a Don and Mike show.
Sorry,
surprise.
That's a nice mental picture. Now, tomorrow we'll review our gay stories.
Yay.
We'll see what's up with that. And we'll take your phone calls. And, you know, we'll do the stuff we do. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. A good day to you, sir.
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 And you enjoy yourself tonight at your fabulous
sex party.
Sex party tonight at Hooters.
My gay sex party.
Gay sex party. Anything else?
Goodbye.
You look good in those orange shorts.
Will we meet again? Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
I think I made Brian crazy. Maybe I shouldn't have burned that petition.
Oh, no, Chris, you did the right thing. It's only a matter of time before Mayor West signs that bill and you'll get to touch thieves.
Oh, boy. I got a feeling that before the end of the day, I'm going to be burying my dog.
Whoa, whoa. I said you could touch my boobs. Let's start with that.